Hello from the other side, it's 2018, new year, new episode of Orange Lounge Radio. We're starting off by reviewing the past and predicting the future. This, the year's gaming news so far, and so much more starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet. Welcome back. It's another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. Orange Lounge Radio, episode number 713 for this January 7th, 2018, our first show of the new year, since we had just done a show on New Year's Day. New Year's Eve. My name is Rob Roberts. You might know me on Twitter at Sky, S-K-I-E. We are live at the Voice Geeks Network, as we are every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. If you are listening to us live, thank you for choosing us over the Golden Globes, for one, because I don't understand. Like, the Golden Globes is what? Like, the Hollywood Foreign Press was like 80 people. Who cares? Anyway.
And
whatever.
Awesome Games Done Quick.
Whatever. Oh, hey! You're back! Welcome! Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers.
Wise from your grave.
Yes. Now, okay, if you're skipping us for Awesome Games Done Quick, that one I get.
But you can have it running quiet on the side, yeah, while you listen to us.
We don't have a video stream. Oh, that's the new excuse I'm going to use for why we don't do video. So you can watch other charity video streams. Well, who not? 2018, don't rule anything out. That's, yeah, all I'm going to say. So anyway, hi, Dark Sakura.
Hi.
Hope you're doing well.
I'm doing better.
I know you weren't able to join us on New Year's Eve, but I hope everything's all right.
Well, I'm not taking any codeine right now, so good. I'm lucid. And I'm not going to, if you people know what happened, I'm just going to give a little bit of information because, mm-hmm, it's nobody's business. Mm-hmm. But I did have surgery. I'm in recovery for a month. Mm-hmm. I'm recovering fine. Mm-hmm. I just get really tired.
All right.
So,
well, if you need to take a nap, you can go crawl in with Mr. Smush.
I'm currently reclined in this chair, so that might, you know.
So, Jamie, what's next in the news tonight? All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, always here. Almost always here. I mean, he takes a week off now and then, too. But he's here tonight. Say hello to Techmaster Loki.
Hello. I'm here.
Hey, Loki. How you doing?
I'm fine.
Good. So we were having a little conversation, as we usually do before the show. We are a show about video games, gaming culture, the gamer lifestyle, but gaming culture, it tends to bleed into other things too, right? So one of the random topics we were talking about before going live tonight, while Bobby was wrapping up his show, we were talking about movies that scared the hell out of us as a kid. Now, keep in mind, we're all late 30s, early 40s here. So, you know, we might come from a different generation than some of you listening, but I'm sure some of you know these movies. So quickly, Loki, what was a movie that scared the hell out of you as a kid?
I would say probably, I know some, like, I think it was American Tale. Was it the first one, maybe? Like, I'm getting
confused. Oh, yeah, I remember the American Tale. Fievel, was that the little mouse's name?
Yeah, I think it was the first American Tale.
It was Don Bluth, yeah.
Yeah, they made a ton
kind
of those
creepy
movies.
Creepy.
Which, relating to games, Don Bluth did Dragon's Lair, Space Ace. He was a very prolific animator.
That wasn't that bad. Actually, the one movie that I saw, I mean, nothing really kind of creeped me out, but like one that kind of stuck with me was The Gate, which was kind of like,
that movie was great.
I don't know that one.
And it was terrible. It's the one where the kids open a portal to hell in their backyard using a heavy metal album.
What?
And one of the kids gets like an eyeball in his hand and has to stab it out and everything.
Yes, that's the scene that I remember.
Oh my God. Was it rated R? I wasn't allowed to.
And they had like the portal inside their house and had like the balcony around.
Yeah, they have little like gremlin troll things that are popping out.
See, I wasn't allowed to watch R-rated movies growing up. In fact,
my mom did that at a friend's house, of course, and when their parents were home.
My mom wouldn't let me watch Gremlins. She thought it was too scary.
I saw Gremlins in the theater.
Oh my God.
I
hear that movie
11.
Fucked up a lot of people.
I think I was 11. 10 yeah. or 11. Yeah. Gremlins was great. You know, the thing is that like not movies weren't very scary to me.
Mm-hmm.
There were only two movies that actually gave me nightmares after.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them was The Thing.
Uh-huh.
But that movie, I can't even watch it as an adult. The John Carpenter.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And the other one is, believe it or not, it doesn't do it anymore, but when I was a kid, Poltergeist 3.
Okay, they were just saying in chat, Tiger Claw said, what about Poltergeist? And I was thinking, oh, that's a good one.
No, the first Poltergeist was my favorite movie when it came out.
Oh, my gosh.
My sister.
I wasn't allowed to watch it.
My sister and I used to use the car as the TV, and she would be Carol Ann because she was blonde.
That's awesome.
But no, I fucking love the first one. The second one was shit. But the third one, because I had a mirror phobia.
Did they have a Poltergeist game on Atari 2600? I'm trying to remember.
I don't remember.
That would have been terrible.
It probably was. Well, some of the movie games like Indiana Jones was really good. But anyway.
But I went through a period of time where I actually had a minor mirror phobia.
Wow.
Yeah, just it wasn't very big, but after I saw the movie, because you know the thing was going through the mirror and everything, I was obsessed with all the special effects in it. I loved it. And even knowing how they did everything, it was, I couldn't look in a mirror for about a week. Other than that, there's only three scenes in something that's fucked me up.
Okay.
And they all have to do with faces melting or faces doing weird things.
Oh, like in Indiana Jones?
In Gremlins? In Indiana Jones, you know, where Stripe melted?
Yeah.
Spoiler, Stripe melts.
Well, come on, that movie's how old?
Kidding. The face melting in Indiana Jones and Large Marge in Pee Wee.
Oh, God, Large Marge. You didn't even tell you that one before the show. That movie, oh, my God. I love
that
scene in particular. You know, that actress just passed away.
Yeah.
Like, not even a couple weeks ago. No, she did not melt. Okay. She was also, because okay, look.
Tell him Large Marge sent
you. You all know that I am married to a guy, so therefore I'm homosexual. One of those, you know, I don't like to buy into all the gay stereotypes sometimes, but you know I love me some Mommy Dearest. And so Large Marge was also Helga in Mommy Dearest. I'm not mad at you, Helga. I'm mad at the dirt. For anyone who saw that movie. All right. But, you know I'm going to quote Mommy
Although
Dearest.
You say Helga, now I think of Clay Fighter.
Tiger Claw mentions, what about Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Oh, yeah. Oh, that movie. I didn't think
of
that one
before. Yeah, the scene in that one did it. It's really just
that
like,
had a game, too. It was shit.
But it's those scenes will still kind of get me for the same reasons, because I know that they're fake and terrible, but they'll still do it. Other than that, though, I mean, like, I've seen a lot of movies in the theater that I was technically too young to see, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't care.
Okay, so here's mine. So
my uncle took me to see Krull, and that was awesome.
My mom did try to protect me from a lot of the scary stuff, but we went to the movie theater, and nobody in chat has said this yet. I can't believe this. This is, for me, this is the king of all like movies that'll fuck you up as a kid. I saw in the theater, taken by my mother to see, Return to Oz. Okay?
Fucking love it.
I love the first one.
Exactly, right? Because you think, oh, right, it's the sequel to The Wizard of Oz, although in reality it's more complicated than that. Those books became public domain at some point or something, or Disney got the rights somehow. I don't know what happened. So they made, because if you didn't know, The Wizard of Oz, like, Baum wrote, like, what, like 23 books of Oz?
And then there were, I think, some pseudonym used his name as a nom de plume.
So anyway, they took two of the books and they kind of combined it and they made Return to Oz, which, if you didn't know, Dorothy was Firouza Balk, who later was in The Craft, right? So the whole thing starts with like her at a mental institution trying to escape getting like electroshock therapy, and then like all these people turning into stones, and then the Wicked Queen has all the heads in the jars. Like, that fucked me up, that movie. And I think my God, that was by far like the scariest movie, I think. And that movie's only rated like PG.
You know what's
like
a really creepy movie that my son, my youngest son, loves? Coraline. Have you seen
it? I love Coraline.
I haven't seen it.
That's a pretty twisted movie, too.
Is it?
It's actually super faithful to the book, too. And I love both the book and the movie.
It's like this demon that tries to lure children into this like other dimension to basically steal their soul.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a kid, it was an animated movie, but it was animated for adults. It was a movie called Rock and Rule.
Rock and Roll Racing. No, I love that game.
Rock and Rule.
Oh, Rock and Rule.
And it was like this future post-apocalyptic where basically rodents became the dominant species, the humanoid rodents. And I'm trying to remember, the soundtrack to it never got a full release, but it was Iggy Pop, Deborah Harry. The one who was the speaking voice of the main girl in that movie was also Sailor Jupiter in the U.S. Sailor Moon. Mm. But the movie was really kind of like on that odd edge of kind of glam. Had like the bad guy was like a glam rock guy who is certainly supposed to emulate David Bowie, just
sure.
evil.
Sure.
But the movie, you know, was so, it was beyond what I was supposed to have been watching, but I fucking love that movie. Never had a US release on any home media except for one limited VHS and a Canadian Laserdisc. And then they released it on DVD when I was an adult, and guess who fucking bought it?
Of course you did.
I also bought a bootleg that was taped off of HBO.
You know, not to shift the topic back to gaming. Sorry. A little bit. No, that's okay. But when you talk about David Bowie inspiration, like, David Bowie inspired so much, and even still today. Like, you look at Moira in Overwatch is the thing that comes to mind for me. They just introduced her a couple months ago. She's very David Bowie inspired. I think one of her skins is, like, straight up Aladdin Sane. Like, it's just... it's pretty cool. Like, you see Bowie's, you know, influence in movies and gaming and beyond. Well, Bowie was always very technically savvy, too. He had that computer game in 99. You did it for Classic Game of the Week once. Mm. He was very, you know, technically savvy with all that stuff. But anyway, I'm digressing a bit.
I do have to give one more statement about that. The other people who did music in that, it was Cheap Trick, Chris Stein, Deborah Harry, Lou Reed, Iggy Pop, and Earth, Wind & Fire.
This is like... it's like a who's who of, like, awesome rock stars from that day. Yeah.
But, oh my God, it was so good.
All right. Anyway, we do want to get into games. And in fact, being that it is the first show of the year, we thought, and Dark Sakura is back with us tonight, we thought, what better time to revisit the time capsule? Do y'all remember this from a few months ago?
Yeah.
And some of you thought, boy, you guys are really dumb putting together a time capsule in the summer that you're going to open in 6 months. Like, what's the suspense in that? Y'all... gaming changes so fast. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I've already talked about this before, how, like, I'll go from one game to another so fast, right? Like, you know, I might be playing Overwatch or something, and then squirrel, you know, Xenoblade Chronicles 2 comes out, and I go play that for a little bit, and then the next week something else comes out. You know, there's that, and, you know, just the way technology moves and changes, right? Like, think about how far we've come in the year. At this point last year, I think we had just had that Switch press conference that told us, here is the Switch, and this is what it is, and this is the launch date and all that. And before that, we knew very little. That was just 1 year ago. You know, we didn't
And
have
how
a...
many rooftop parties has the Switch cost? Zero.
Well, we
totally
don't know.
Let
we
down.
Don't know. 4K gaming, you know, was not something we had really a year ago.
It's
maybe
still not really something we have now. But
maybe for the highest end PCs. But come on, we do have Forza, you know, is that. We've got more games coming out. Xbox One X is a thing. So, I mean, gaming changes that fast. Technology shifts that fast. So it's a little bit tongue in cheek that we do this segment. But, you know, I don't know how many of you guys go back and listen to old Orange Lounge radios, but some of the shit that comes out of our mouths about predictions and things like that, and just, you know, if only we knew then what we knew now. It's crazy. All right, so anyway, let's get to it. So a few months ago, we put away in this time capsule some questions or some statements about what are we going to discover in 2018. And tonight, we will be filling it back up, not only with our comments, but some of yours in our chat as well, over at live.vognetwork.com. So I think the best way to do this, so I'm going to take our Vader time capsule here, and I'm going to open up his head, and I'm going to pull one thing out, and then I'll pass it around. Each person can pull something out. Does that sound like fun? Oh my God, this thing is full. Maybe we are going to have a 3-hour show tonight.
I don't remember.
Orinchu is kind of quick. All right. So somebody wrote this down. This looks like Matt's handwriting. Skyrim Remastered. Oh, I think these are the three games you like right now.
Oh.
Why do we have three games randomly written down? Well, here's the thing. You put Skyrim Remastered, Until Dawn, Rush of Blood, Skyrim Remastered. So I think these are like the games we were playing over
games,
the summer.
Yeah.
Top three games so far of the year.
Oh, am I supposed to do that? Should we do that again?
I don't
know. Let's do that, but let's actually write what they are.
There's only been like a week's worth of games. All right, I'm going to do two.
No, I meant like a... No,
I mean our top three for the last year.
Last year, like
2017. Oh, yeah, we can do that, sure. All right.
That's just cool. I have one less thing I have to think of.
Label it as that. All right, I'm going to open two. So this other one says... oh, I wrote this. Did any accessories go down in price yet? And that was signed Dungeon Buster and Rob. So he must have said something in chat. Did any accessories go down in price
yet? I think he's talking about the Switch accessories because they were all expensive.
Well, they discontinued a Microsoft accessory this week. Sort of. We'll get into that a little later.
Not going down in price, but...
no, the Switch accessories sure as hell didn't go down in price, that's for sure. They're still releasing new colors and new schemes and all that stuff, so I don't know if...
scheme is the right word for that.
Yeah, there you go. All right, pick a couple out of these here, Loki, and read them for us.
Okay, let's see.
All right.
It's like a one piece.
One big piece. Somebody shoved a whole piece of paper in there. Is that Jamie?
This is mine.
All right, what'd you put?
Okay, so this is what I put as, yep, has my name on it.
Okay.
Of course it's mine. Whoa, we did this back in March. I thought it was in June.
Oh, I thought it was in the summer.
No, March 5th.
Oh, okay, so it almost is a year.
We dated it.
All right.
Okay. I bet they delayed Super Mario Odyssey.
So you were wrong on that.
I was wrong on that.
They did not delay
it. I bet the system is hacked already.
You're actually kind of right on that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, come on. That was a Captain Obvious thing to say.
I bet their online service is shit. Well, I was wrong because it hasn't come out yet. So,
yeah, I think that we need to do like our favorite three games of last year and then our predictions.
Sure.
Yeah, so let's do it that way.
No less than 2 Wii U remakes announced at E3.
Not at E3, but we got Bayonetta 2 at the Game Awards.
Yeah, so technically there's Bayonetta.
Do we get any other remake announcements at E3?
There's been a lot of games that have been ported to the Switch. I don't think those are remakes necessarily, though.
Yeah, no. So you got one. You got one or two.
And no F-Zero, which... You know,
well, that was, again, Captain Obvious thing to make.
Yeah.
All right. Let's pass it on Jamie.
Nintendo, geez.
Let's make her do a few. It's almost like you had all this pent-up rage for no reason for Nintendo. All right. Oh, Pokken. Thank you, ActDeft. Pokken was E3.
Oh.
Thank you, ActDeft.
Pokken
this
is
was
Splatoon
me.
2. Which,
no. Sorta.
I guess these were the games I've been playing.
Okay.
So I said World of Warcraft Legion, which I've played through part of the year.
But then you've since stopped, and now I'm playing it.
Danganronpa 2, which I still haven't finished, and Breath of the Wild.
Okay. Which you're kind of still, you have the DLC, right? You and Dan have been kind of poking your way through that, right?
Yeah, we started on my Switch version.
Okay.
So, and then there's a few in here. Okay, this one's Rob's. I guess is what you're playing. Final Fantasy 14, Overwatch with Alan, and Overcome with Feelings about Andromeda. P.S. Was the gay sex good?
Unfortunately, no, it was not until they patched in the jaw stuff, I guess. That's when you finally got. So, Rob, the answer is no, it wasn't very good. Okay, there's only a few more left in here. I think there's 3 more in here, so we'll each pull one. All right, this one says... This is a huge list. JD's initials are on this, too. This might have come from chat. Okay. I don't even know what
was
the hell.
Was he here during the time that we were recording?
I think this is from chat because there's a Dungeon Buster thing on here.
Okay.
So I think this is Jamie's handwriting, and she wrote 6 things here. Virtual console, Jamie. Well, didn't happen. We'll put that on 2018's list. Augmented reality, Jamie.
That. Actually, there's been a lot of talk of it from Apple.
Yeah,
from the developers conference.
I mean, it kind of, that's a really broad category. So, you know, did we get HoloLens? Not beyond the developer stuff, but, you know, Pokemon Go incorporated AR even further into what they're doing on the phones. So, you know, that's something. JD put MII support. Well, you sort of can use the Miis on the Switch. Your little avatars are Mii people, right?
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. 2 months to Linux, said Jamie. Oh, that must have been about the Switch. 2 months to Linux.
Which I don't think it's happened.
No, it has not happened, but they're getting close. Stream plus video clips, Jamie. Again, I think that's about the Switch. Also hasn't happened. Well, no. Video clips did. So stream didn't. Video clips did. So half point there. This is like whose line is it anyway? The points don't matter.
Mm.
And then Dungeon Buster said EA and Ubisoft still committed. Oh, that's a good one. So are EA and Ubisoft still committed to the Switch? Well, I think Ubisoft's a
definitely,
big yes.
Yes.
Definitely. I mean, with Mario Rabbids was one of their big titles last year.
EA hasn't really done much other than their sports games, but we don't know for 2018 yet.
I feel like EA's kind of being bullied into it, which is fine.
Oh, something bad happening to EA. Oh, that's just terrible.
All right, I think there's only a couple left in here, so Loki, you can grab one. We have to be more specific this time. We're learning as we do this here at Orange Lounge Radio, and you can join us in chat at live.vognetwork.com.
I have no idea. You wrote this one.
Me?
I think. It says, did 45 get impeached? Or I don't know what...
No, I probably wrote that too. Why do we put things that weren't about
I
games?
I have no idea.
No, he did not.
Damn shame.
But there's a book out, I mean, for what it's worth. I'm not surprised at all.
I have listened to half that book. It's pretty good.
I obtained it.
All right. One more for Dark Soccer.
there's a couple more in there.
I'll finish them up.
All right.
What I'm going to do for us is I think we do one of our game prediction, our games that we were playing, and then we take a few things from the chat room.
Oh, Bobby in chat says, you must have listened to the show this week. Bobby says, you put that one in at the very end as a secret to everyone. You showed it to Jamie and she laughed, but you wouldn't read it to chat. Oh, well, there you go. Surprise. Okay.
I can't read your handwriting, Rob.
All right, then I'll do this one. All right, my handwriting says, did they bundle 1-2 Switch in yet? No.
All right.
They didn't have to.
And this one's also your...
That didn't work out so well, did it?
Well, they didn't. GameStop did.
Can we play Virtual Console online like they said on website? Nope. Well, it seems headed that direction, but nope.
If by you mean Virtual Console, you mean illegally emulated games online, then yes, you can play those online.
All right. Going to chat over at live.vognetwork.com. JD in chat said, yeah, and it went on sale for a bunch for Black Friday, talking about 1-2 Switch. So that's something there.
I literally forgot about 1-2 Switch until it was just brought up just now.
All right. So chatters over at live.vognetwork.com. What should we put in? So time capsule's empty right now. Okay. So what goes in the time capsule for this year? So we're supposed to put our top three games, right? Because I didn't even put that in there yet.
Yeah.
So why don't you guys start, Jamie?
Well, okay. So my top three games for 2017 are Animal Crossing Pocket Camp, Danganronpa V3, and Mass Effect Andromeda. I really have nothing else. So.
All right.
They're going in.
Put it in there. All right. And Loki, did you even think of three games? I was kind of put on the spot.
Don't do like a huge sheet of paper so we can get everything to fit.
I know.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll rip these apart. So that's fine.
It's fine.
I've got more than three, actually. So.
All right. Go for it.
Just the completely obvious safe answer. The AAA gaming industry will continue to fuck up games using...
Wait. This is
we're doing
top
our top three games.
Top three games.
Oh, well, that's still a game because it's the industry fucking thing is up. No, my top three games of this year.
Loki's like, I didn't understand the assignment.
I wasn't listening. I was writing. Top three games of this year. That's a tough one because I didn't play much. I would probably say South Park, The Fractured Butthole. And then still Skyrim Remastered. And... gosh, I don't know. Like, I really didn't play that much. I have no idea. I'm just going to put two. And the AAA industry fucking over everything. That's my game number three.
Well, that's a given, Captain Obvious. All right. I'm going to put in my list here. And I kind of had to... Sorry, I kind of had to do this fast, and I didn't really think analytically about this. But I put number one, Super Mario Odyssey. That's a given. I put number two, Breath of the Wild. And I went ahead and put number three, Final Fantasy XIV, Stormblood. I mean, I know that's kind of obvious for me, but I really liked the story and the expansion. Like, seriously, I know a lot of people haven't really enjoyed it, but the story and the expansion is so good. It's, like, better than some of the mainline Final Fantasy games. So that's just kind of what came to mind. And obviously a game I played an awful lot this year. So I'll go ahead and put that in there. Don't forget, chatters, we want your suggestions over at live.vognetwork.com. Bobby Blackwolf suggests put Time to Car as number three because you've played it and we haven't. So
that is true. I have. Except it's not really playable.
You did label your thing, didn't you, Rob?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
I put 2017 top three.
Okay.
Okay. So I'll start with some of these other slips here, okay? So I have to kind of rip this one up funny. All right, here's my prediction, or one of my predictions for 2018. Will Microsoft, jealous of Nintendo's sales this holiday, jack the Switch concept, but for PC as well? The NVIDIA Shield is already halfway there, after all. I wrote a lot on that, sorry. But at the end of the day, I'm asking, will Microsoft, jealous of the Switch's success, jack the concept for themselves?
Nah. The reason I think that, well, not to say that I couldn't do that, but they have...
Wouldn't be the first time they've taken a good
true,
idea.
True, but they have a tablet device pretty much already with their Surface tablets.
True.
So they'd probably try to push that as a gaming platform versus, you know, because you can do Xbox Anywhere type stuff. But yeah, it would be nice if another company did that.
All right, Jamie, how about one from you?
I didn't do them as, like, questions. I just did one more third-party Switch support, like SNK, Konami, etc.
So will we see more Switch third-party support?
Yeah.
Okay, I like that.
Because it's really not super heavy right now.
Mm-hmm. And we actually have some rumors tonight about Konami possibly stepping it up even more with Switch, so...
Number two, Konami learns from Capcom and listens to fans. Because, you know, Capcom is doing Mega Man 11.
Uh-huh, true.
So...
True.
Three, I will continue to be very disappointed by the gaming industry as a whole.
All right. Loki.
Aside from the one I already mentioned, I said the Xbox One X and PlayStation 4 Plus don't sell well.
Okay.
That we'll see new...
Don't you think it's a little late for the PS4 Plus prediction? Because that was last year.
Was it?
Yeah. It's been that's been out a while.
It'll still continue not to sell well. I don't know if it's even selling well.
Right.
I'm going to assume it's not because why?
Well, I kind of think the Plus is just quietly taking the place as the default console. But all right. It's fine.
It's not like it still didn't like, oh, I got to have it because it's so amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I said that new second-gen VR headsets this year.
Okay.
And the bold prediction, but maybe safe prediction, no Final Fantasy VII Remake and no Kingdom Hearts 3 this year.
Oh, so both those games not happening in 2018.
Not happening.
All right. That's a prediction.
Sorry. One last one. Nintendo will stop production of the 3DS and 2DS.
Okay. Now, those are some predictions, Loki. I like those. All right.
So, chat room, message me one prediction. I will take... the top five, and I will only take them via message, not said in the chat room.
All right. Why is that?
Because
be a surprise?
Because I want people to fucking listen.
All right. I still have more. I had one more that I wanted to put in there. The next prediction I said is, did Anthem flop? You know that we've had a lot of things to say about how EA handled Mass Effect. EA is further under the spotlight for this whole loot box thing. You know they've planned for Anthem to have loot boxes in one way or another. This game is already in development.
Why not put them all in one form so that we don't have a bunch of little papers
because
in there?
Because I didn't think of it. Yeah. We need a project manager for the time capsule. So I put, did Anthem flop? That's what
did I
put.
Did I put my top three games on a piece of paper, or did you already do that?
On one single piece.
Yeah, you can do it on one single piece of paper.
All right, stop sending me suggestions. I have more than enough.
All right. Now, I do like this suggestion from our chat over at live.vognetwork.com. This is before you started saying something, Jamie. Bobby says, based on the games that you know are coming out in 2018, what do you think your top three will be when you open the time capsule next year? There's so many games they just don't announce until E3. You know what I mean? That's hard.
I could already name a few.
Okay, do you want to write them down and put at the top, were these my favorite games 2018? Question mark.
I'm out of paper, but yeah, sure.
I should, here.
It's all good. It's all good.
Here, buddy.
Stuff on the ground, because I had to throw stuff away, because they're terrible.
So what games are you going to put on there, Loki?
I'm going to put on we're going to get to it later, but a certain remake of a certain racing game from a certain Criterion.
Fair enough.
I'm going to put Red Dead Redemption 2 and number 3 is going to be tough. I don't know. Because I don't know what other games are going to be coming out. I'm going to hope for a new Elder Scrolls game. That's never going to happen.
I'm going to put Metroid Prime 4. I think that's a gimme for me. So Metroid Prime 4, did I enjoy in 2018? Number two, I'm going to put, I think the Bayonetta remake's too easy because we know how those games are. So I'm gonna be bold and say Mother 3. Because who knows if that is going to happen. Ooh, I know. Number three, I'm going to put Secret of Mana Remaster.
Secret of Mana is on Steam right now.
Yeah, but you know how they're doing that remaster? I think it's only about a month away on PS4. I'm really looking forward to that. So I'm going to... I think it's also on Steam, to be fair. But I know PS4 is the console platform they're going with that. Tiger Claw in chat says...
Stop sending me suggestions. I've got plenty.
Tiger Claw in chat says, what about F-Zero? Do you think 2018 will be the year for a new F-Zero on the Switch? No, I do not, sadly. And it pains me to say that, but no, I do not. So that's why I'm not putting that in. All right. What else is left, Jamie? Do you want to read some of these chat things we're putting in?
Not yet.
I know another game that I could be looking forward to this year, which I hopefully is going to be making its way out this year. I know that they're working on Borderlands 3.
Oh.
I fucking love Borderlands.
There
so
you go.
I'd be down with that.
There you go. That's a good one for your list. What about you guys in our chat over at live.com?
So I think that we should leave. I'm going to leave these five here a secret.
Oh, you're not even going to read them?
Nope.
Where's the fun in that?
Because... The fun. That means we have to make it through another year.
All right. Did you put what chatters?
Yes,
said
I did.
It? Okay. All right.
Yes, I did.
All right. I'm going to chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Bobby says Forza Horizon 4 is most likely coming because they've pretty much verified that the Forza series is a yearly series. Splitting between Motorsport and Horizon in 2018 is a Horizon year. Well, that's good to know. That'll be really good on. That might be the game that finally pushes me to get an Xbox One X. We'll see. Tiger
Except
Claw.
You could just play it on PC.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Tiger Claw in chat says, in 2018, I want to see a new Ninja Turtles game from Rocksteady. If Ninja Turtles is coming to Injustice 2 is any indication, there's that. All right, anything else for the time capsule? Now that Jamie has put in the chat room comments. All right, going once, going twice.
Do we need something that isn't related to gaming?
Oh, yes. No, I do. I want to put one thing that's very important, and this actually ties into something we're going to talk about next week.
Okay. Like, maybe we should each put our one top secret social prediction.
No, I'll read this one out loud. It's fine.
Well, mine's going to be top secret because it's my prerogative.
Okay. I'm writing, did Rob finally rage quit Ingress?
I rage quit for a while, remember? As Rob takes me around to, like, a portal on the way here.
Yeah, right.
It was pretty cool, though.
Jamie, we need to take a detour.
All right.
True.
All right, and I put mine on Gaming 1, which is still sort of gaming. Ready Player 1 didn't suck.
Oh, pfft. All right. Anything else? Dark Sakura, you're keeping it a secret.
Yep.
It's a secret to everybody.
It's a secret to everybody, and then we'll seal it up. Where's the lid?
You've got the lid. Oh, where's the lid? Oh, here it is. Seal it away, bury it underground where Mr. Smush won't find it. And there it is. All right. Going to chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Azette just joined chat saying, no, he just sent me on an errand, actually. And that's about Ingress. But I haven't rage quit yet. Today was pretty good. But yeah, I've had my days where I'm like, this is it. I'm done.
Yeah, I pulled it up this afternoon. And I was like, oh, hey.
Yeah, we had a little James Bond day today. It was fun. All right, seal it up. By the way, next week is going to be a very Ingress-heavy show because... And if you've never played the game, that's okay. Because we're going to have some very fun ladies who really do a lot with the game and the community here in Sacramento are going to be here on the show next week. So it's kind of a lady gamer takeover next week. It's going to be a lot
Hell
of fun.
Yeah.
So tune in for that live.
An Estrafest.
Oh, boy. All right. Or oh, girl, as the case may be. Anyway, let's... I'm looking to chat over at live.vognetwork.com just for a couple more here. Tiger Claw in chat says, in 2018, Solo, a Star Wars story, was the best Star Wars movie ever.
Oh, fuck, that movie's going to be shit.
I don't know. Let's see. Bobby Blackwell says, I hope my 4K home theater I'm building is everything I want it to be and more. Had the builder here 2 days ago taking measurements. We'll see. We'll see. All right. The time capsule is locked away. And we will open that up New Year's next year, which means we basically committed to another year of OLR. So there you go. All right. Let's get into our gaming weeks and the types of video games that we have been playing this week. No predictions here, just facts. Jamie, you actually want to bring up something else real quick before you get to your gaming weeks, right?
Well, not to be a big downer, although I've been all over my social media with it, but my stepdad, who I actually like better than my real dad, died on Christmas Eve.
Sorry to hear that.
With complications to idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis. It means that your lungs fill with fibrous tissue and you can't breathe. Mm. And he was in Gainesville for his double lung transplant and died after the first day of testing. And so my mother has no job. She has no income right now. She can't collect anything until she turns 60, which is 11 months away. So I've started a GoFundMe to try to help raise money for my mother to help her keep her head above water. You know, I've got, we've so far raised enough to give her a month of her rent. I would like to at least cover 3 months of rent for her. And it's not just me saying, oh, everyone else give money. I've actually taken over about two or three of my mother's bills so that she at least can have, you know, her phone and her internet and basic, you know, pay for her car.
I understand. This is you looking out for a parent in any way you possibly can. Like, I don't think anybody can blame you for that.
And so I'm even going to go out on a limb and I'm going to do something that's a lot of pride swallowing here. If I can either get one person to donate $500,
okay,
or two people to do $250,
uh-huh,
or five people to do $100,
mm-hmm,
and you have to say in the comment when you donate that it's for Halo.
Okay.
This means that if I get that goal reached, I will do Halo as classic game of the week. I'm completely.
I almost said that during the time capsule thing. Dang it.
Oh, did she finally do Halo?
Yes.
Yeah.
I will do Halo as classic game of the week. And on top of that, I will talk at length about Halo.
Will you play Halo? Go for gold, Jamie.
Yeah, on. I'll play Halo all that right. night.
Awesome.
But I'll have to do it over here because
I have the Halo. We'll have to fudge it a little bit. I have the Halo collection on Xbox One.
I who have never played Halo, will play Halo.
Okay.
On stream.
All right. Good.
And also, I am planning on doing a marathon as soon as I've healed up a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to do it during Awesome Games Done Quick because that's unfair to me and them. But I want to do a stream where basically you donate $20, you pick the game out of my collection that I play. You know, would have.
Which unfortunately, Halo is not in the collection, so it does have to be
something. It's in the collection, but I'm going to do like per system.
Okay.
Like, you know, you. If you want me to switch systems, then, you know, a little bit more of a donation.
I'm just saying no cheating on the Halo thing.
No.
No.
But that means I have to get the thing hooked up to the CRT so that I don't have weird lag playing the Guardian Legend or something.
All right.
You know, and hey, if you want to donate more for a game I loathe, then fuck.
All right.
Well, $50 for Zelda 2.
You have somebody in chat saying right now, I'm in for 100. Where's the link?
All right, so the link is...
There we go, one down, four to go.
I'm going to post it in chat.
Oh, boy. I think she's going to have to do it.
But what I'm doing right now is I'm even... let me actually get the link first, because. But then I'm also going to put it on my Twitter, which is at Dark Sakura.
Okay.
But I will say it aloud. It's gofundme.com/Michael-mom. Is the link, and I will put it in chat right now.
And that's M-I-C-H-A-E-L, because mm-hmm. I know there's a million different spellings of Michael out there.
And, oh, I definitely already got it. But just in the comments, you know, please.
So she can keep track, because you have friends and family and non-OLR.
But I would appreciate you leaving a word of encouragement to my mother, because it's 2 weeks today that Michael died, and she's really in a lot of pain.
Sure,
there by herself. She's had to go through all of the stuff because he was a pack rat. And she was even saying that she was putting stuff away and thinking, Michael's going to be pissed when he gets home. And then, you know, because he's been in the hospital so much. So, but even if you just want to give like $5 or 10 or, you know, whatever, every little bit is going to help. And if we can get my mom at least 3 months of rent, that should be enough time for her to find some work.
All right, well, good luck to you in that.
Thank you.
I know that asking them for money is not always the most pleasant thing to do, but I think, you know, again, you are looking out for a parent, and I think a lot of people in your situation would do the exact same thing.
And on top of that, she's 3,000 miles away, so there's not much I can do other than this.
Right. Okay.
So, but my mom, I told my mom I was going to do this, and she, you know, she even said, thank y'all in advance for whatever
just
you
like
do.
Just like that, too.
Yeah, that's my mom. I mean, we could probably call my mother and say, hey, you know, you want to say something to everybody, but I'll ask her first.
Okay.
But yeah, but thank you guys for everything that you're doing to help my mom out. We argue about stuff. We don't always see eye to eye, but she's my mama, mm-hmm. and she's a nice lady mm-hmm. most of the time. Mm-hmm. So thank you, guys.
All right. Well, let's shift gears a little bit and talk about your gaming week. Do you want me to have you go first? Or do you want me to kick it to Loki so you can...
I can go first. Okay. And I'll put that... I'll let everyone know when I post it on Twitter. But I'll be honest, I've been in a lot of pain, so I didn't really play a whole lot. But I did play some Dragon Age Inquisition, just because it's kind of like... It's kind of comfort food for me, is playing Dragon Age.
Sure.
And
that's like me and WoW lately.
Yeah, and a little bit of Danganronpa V3, although I lost my progress. Holy shit, Raginator. If I can get to $2,500 during the Halo segment, I will say that Halo is my... I'll lie, sure. $2,500, I'll say that Halo is my favorite game and it's the greatest game ever.
How much to sell her soul? $2,500.
And then I'll also say, it's a fucking lie, but I'm saying it for money.
All right, anyway, let's get back to games. Yeah.
Yeah. And also, by the way, anyone who does donate something, I also will give you a personalized thank you on my social media.
That's nice.
So, but yeah, so we started Breath of the Wild together again on Switch.
Like starting over with Switch.
Okay. And Dan also started the Trial of the Master Sword and then was like, fuck this. It is some bullshit, you know. So we've been getting our Switch gaming on because mostly, and I mean, with the type of surgery I had, I have to lay out kind of, thank you already, by the way, first donation came in. I have to lay kind of flat sometimes because of my, where I was operated on hurts a lot. Mm-hmm. And so, Dan will play Zelda and I'll be his navigator. And so we'll do the puzzles together and things like that and look for things that we missed and try to find, you know, stuff that he didn't find on the Wii U version. And then, we've been watching a lot of, what's his name from GameSack, the ginger guy. GameSack is one of my favorite, video shows on YouTube right now, mm-hmm. just for gaming related. In fact, I'd probably say that one and Battle of the Ports are my two favorites right now. And I like Did You Know Gaming and Beta 64. Those are my big ones right now. Yeah, Dave, thank you. But I've been watching, we've been watching some of his streams on YouTube, just the recorded streams, and been pretty fun. And you know, kind of got me thinking about going back and playing some of their older games. I've been playing a lot of Animal Crossing, though. I'm almost level 52.
You should go dig up the GameCube and play the OG Animal Crossing.
I loaded that up on an emulator.
Oh, okay.
Because I was going to do my little webcomic using that, and it's easier to screen cap in the emulator. But I could just do the double finger screen cap, and I'll start a new game on Dan's DS because he's not using it.
Oh, okay.
So, all right. But yeah, it's really, and of course, Ingress today. Thank you, Rob.
You're welcome.
And a little bit of Miitomo. I'm kind of getting out of it now, but I like the outfits. Excuse me, I've got hiccups. I played something else. Oh yeah, and I'm actually buying Hollow Knight tonight. After having watched that speedrun, the game looks so fun and pretty that I think I need that game in my life. So.
All right. There it is.
Yeah.
Derek Socrates Gaming Week. How about Loki? How was your gaming week?
I finally got around to playing VR games.
Awesome.
Well,
what'd you
a
play?
VR game, I should say.
It's something.
I played Super Hot VR on the PlayStation VR, and it's fun. I like it. The only issue I have with it, it's really just the PlayStation VR hardware, or I shouldn't even say it's the PlayStation VR hardware. It's more of the shitty-ass PlayStation Move controllers. Throwing things seem to be very difficult to get accurate. So like I try to throw, because I know you can do it sometimes where you throw your gun from one scene to the next scene, because if you haven't played the game, once you kill all the, you know, the targets in the first part, it kind of teleports you to another section of the stage, and sometimes you can throw your gun that you have from one section to the next section, or like throw like a, you know, ball or a ninja star or something like that down where you think a person's gonna be, and then you'll hit them. So I tried doing that, but half the time when I went to throw something, it would just kind of, it'd be like there's no energy behind it. I'd throw it and it just kind of like falls down like there's just none of the momentum there. And other times it would work fine, or it'd work fine in the completely wrong direction. So I'd throw it and it'd bounce off of nothing and just somehow go behind me. I'm like, okay, that's not helpful at all. But I had a lot of fun with it. So I do like the game. I just wish the hardware worked better. But it's fun. It's just hard. Definitely very hard to play that because you're trying to look around to see where things are. But anytime you move your head, that's when everything's moving in the timeline. Because Superhot, for those who haven't played it, I'm sure a lot of people are familiar with it, everything stands still if you're still. As soon as you move or do any action, everything in the time starts moving. So if
it's a neat little concept.
Yeah, it's a neat concept. So playing that in VR, you know, trying to get an idea of your surroundings, you're moving your head and there's like things coming up on you, and you fire a gun and everything's moving, you know, for a little bit. And so it's just, it's difficult in a fun way, I guess. And I kept trying to make sure I wasn't hitting my TV. But yeah, so I'm going to definitely dive into more VR stuff, but I was, you know, happy to get to do that. Play another game, which I unfortunately can't really give an impression on till later on, so we'll just say it was hard. And then I played just the usual cell phone stuff. I've been playing a little bit of Ingress, a little bit of Pokemon Go, just kind of wherever I'm at. You know, if it's a restaurant or, you know, the grocery store or something like that, just hitting whatever's nearby. And that's about it.
Cool. My gaming week. I have been playing World of Warcraft Legion still. That's kind of my zen game right now, which is weird because I'm not very social in that game. I'm not really playing with anybody that I know. I kind of as a loner. I mean, some rando guild picked me up and whatever. I don't really do anything but steal the perks. I leveled a druid on Horde side from 1 to 110 in the past couple weeks. So, and I've just been exploring some of the newer content they put in there, like the Argus stuff and, you know, trying to catch up. So it's kind of been interesting. And then I started a shaman on Alliance side because I'd never played a shaman. And I think my shaman is already up to level 38. So, you know, just, it's been just kind of like my zen game lately. Kind of been playing that. I did some streaming this week and I played Super Mario World. And that was a really fun stream because I got really frustrated. Like, my muscle memory kicked in the weirdest places. And I remembered how to get to the Star World. And then with a little help from chat, I think I got to the cool world, the special world, where all the stages are named like cool, awesome, and whatever. And one of those stages, like tubular or something, like fucked me up. Like it took me a long time to get through it. And so it was just, yeah, it was interesting because one of the chatters was like, this is the hardest stage. And I beat it on like the second try. But then another stage just like ended me. It was so awful. But it was a great stream. So I should probably finish that on stream at some point. So that was fun. And then I don't know if this is the game you were thinking of, Loki, but I actually asked the author if I could talk about it a little bit, and the answer is yes. So
okay, well, cool.
I played a little bit of, and we've talked about it on the show before, YYR is making a new game and it's called Super Multitasking. Now he's beta testing this game right now, so he has invited some people to beta test it, which I'm assuming Loki's one of them.
Yes, I am.
And I'm one of them as well. We can't stream it till it's all ready to go. But he said we can talk about it a little bit, and I'm telling you, there's a reason why I brought him onto the phone to yell at him and tell him to put this game out, because it's fun. Like it's
incredibly hard, but it's
I did
fun.
Not realize like how, and for, if you don't know what Super Multitasking is, it's basically the easiest way I can explain it. Imagine you're playing WarioWare four places at once. It's kind of what it is. Kind of. I'm oversimplifying it to tell you what it is, but I think it's the best way I could say. So you're playing like WarioWare four places at once. So like the average game, honestly, if I get to 2 minutes, I've done a great job. Like honestly, yeah. I was a little surprised at how fast the games go by, but that's actually kind of a good thing because I do this whole one more hit, one more set, come on, one more. And so like I ended up playing it for a good hour the other day, just trying to keep beat my score over and over. So I think YYR is onto a good thing here.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for him to release the game. So he did say he's looking for more people. If you want to hit him up on Twitter, YYR, is it YYR underscore or underscore YYR? I think it's YYR underscore. And you can also visit his website at yyrgames.com. So yeah, so Super Multitasking, I mean, what I played is mostly finished. There are some bugs, but he kind of like already knows about them. So, you know, he'll squash them, and I'm sure the game will be out in a couple months. So that's going to be exciting. Y'all got to support him when he puts that out because I'm really excited for him. So thank you. JD in chat says YYR underscore. And Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, I'm mad he made it himself because I was going to make it myself and reap all that sweet, sweet indie game cash. So there you go.
So just an update.
Uh-huh.
Thank you to people who donated. Although I forgot to mention I need your Twitter handles to give you the thank you. Uh-huh. But my mother, she says, please don't call. I'm too emotional. Mm-hmm. But she says, please thank them for me. She's overwhelmed.
That's wonderful.
So thank you, everybody.
Thanks, everybody who's able to help. All right. Tiger Claw in chat says, you think we would see super multitasking in an AGDQ someday? Imagine a speedrun of that.
I think there's a speedrun mode in there.
I don't know if it's something that can particularly be speedrun, can be speedrun, because that's kind of the point, is how long can you go? But I think it would be a great tournament game. And he did build a lot of that feature into it. So I'm really excited for YYR. Like, I really hope this does good for him. I think the one thing he might hear when the game gets released is that there's not enough of the mini games, because people are going to come from this place of WarioWare and so forth, where they're used to like 120 games and all this stuff. But like, considering YYR has basically done this himself, as far as I know, like, I'm really impressed with what he did. And also, I think it's worth pointing out that if there were that big of a variety, this game's already fucking hard. Like, if there was even greater variety, I don't know that it would be doable. So we'll see. We'll see. But I mean, I think, I don't know what he's going to end up ultimately charging for it. But knowing him, he's not going to overcharge for it. And I think it's going to do very well for him. I plan the minute I can stream it, we're streaming it.
I was going to say, it's a great streaming game.
I think I know I'm overhyping this a bit, but like PUBG, Minecraft, Five Nights, that shit came out of nowhere.
People
and took
like
off
watching
streaming.
Frustrating games. Look at Getting Over It, how popular that is with streamers.
I'm
right
telling
now.
You, he has a chance. It may not happen for him, but it might with the super multitasking. So we'll see. It's just got it. The right people have to see it and the right people have to play it, and it's going to happen. Because I think you're right. People like to see people get frustrated. And I'm not even streaming right now. And I missed the fucking Pong ball or something. And I screamed at the monitor. I was so mad. Because like, I knew it was coming. And I got so mad.
Well, I started like doing it like where it's two. And two I can manage. And all of a sudden a third one pops up. I'm like, I can't do this. It's too hard.
All right. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says he needs to add Twitch API stuff where the chat can throw in which minigames show up. Ooh, that's a really good. I mean, I think at this point he's too far along where he's not going to add anything major, but especially if people really take to the game, I think he's the type of guy that's going to be like, all right, what can I do for super duper multitasking or super multitasking turbo tournament edition super third strike? So anyway, all right. Good luck to you, YYR. Nothing but great things about your game, and I'm really excited to stream it, even though I'm going to be screaming a lot. All right. For everybody else, it will be on Steam eventually, so keep an eye out. I think there's because it was greenlit, so I think there is a page already on Steam where you can kind of follow it, so you can go over there and check that out, and then you can just follow YYR on Twitter and all that stuff, too.
And they don't have to go through the greenlit process anymore anyway, so.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Bobby Blackwolf points out Multitasking 1 was on Xbox Live Indie Games. That's right. I forgot he put it out just in time for the cutoff there, and that's why this is super multitasking, and I think he bumped it up from 12 games to 17 or something like that. So he has already added new stuff into it. So, but for many people, I mean, I think so many people missed the boat on the Xbox Indie Games, especially as it was already being sunsetted and on the way out the door anyway. I think this is going to be where most people find it. So, all right. Let us move on. We need to get into some gaming news as well. I don't have a lot of announcements here for housekeeping because, as far as I know, we have shows pretty much coming up through the next few weeks. I'll be gone for a weekend in March, but that's over 2 months away. So
I'm going to DragCon in May.
Are you going to DragCon?
I'm going to DragCon.
Nice. I'm going to DragUnCon again. Actually, I should give a shout out to MagFest because I know a lot of our listeners were at MagFest this weekend, and I was bummed. I mean, there was a lot of problems with the hotels and all that stuff this year, but it sounds like once people got to MagFest this past weekend, everybody seemed to have a good time, and a lot of the feedback I'm seeing is very positive. And I know there was some question marks with the whole fact the arcade game room was changing and some of these things, but it sounds like MagFest went really well. So I have to admit I was a little jealous I didn't make it out there this year. I mean, it is what it is. Y'all know why I couldn't be there this year. But I will hope that they work out some of their flaws so that I can come to MAGFest 2019. I think that would be fantastic if that could be a thing. So, just shout out to those of you that were at MAGFest. I'm sorry I missed it this year. I was definitely sitting at home this weekend. Like, I would see Zeba or SSG 100 Matt or some of the people I know there, like, posting pictures or whatever, and I just kind of do one of those. Like, you know, not that I'm, like, mad, but I'm just like, oh, I should be there now and I'm not, you know, but it is what it is. I'll be at Dragon Con and I'll be at what other cons am I going to be at this year? I'm trying to play. Hopefully they do a GamerX this year. I'll definitely be in for that. And who knows what else? Stay tuned. All right, let's get into some gaming news. Loki.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about the Nintendo Switch. So the Switch is the fastest home or selling home console in the U.S. So it's sold apparently 4.8 million units over 10 months, and this has already surpassed the mark that was set by the Switch, which sold 4 million units during that same time frame. And I guess in December they announced that they had sold the 10 million units. So, or they were, Nintendo announced that they were selling 10 million units worldwide. So 4.8 in the U.S. and 10 million worldwide.
So, Loki, you know, I got to needle you on this a little bit, because when it comes to being critical of Nintendo, you're usually, you know, one to speak up here on the show. Although you also, to be fair, you give them props where props are due as well, I think. You agree that Breath of the Wild is a fabulous game, as is Mario Odyssey. I don't think anybody's going to tell you it's not. And I think a lot of our frustration with Nintendo comes from, oh my God, there's these things that other people are already doing, and they're not, like, their online is so weird and all this other stuff. It's like, like that frustration of, like, this could be better, but it's not. But here we are, Loki. Now these sales figures show doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
What's up with that? How does this make you feel when you hear this?
It's still disappointing, though, because it really should matter. It's not that, you know, it doesn't matter. It's just it's doing well regardless of their online as well, but it could be doing even better.
Well, just
there's no excuses at this point. I mean, like, how far behind are they?
I got to needle a little further, because does it show that maybe this stuff doesn't matter to a lot of people? Maybe online gaming doesn't matter to a lot of people.
But it does, though. It does with, like, it does.
It does to me.
It does, because, like, Splatoon is a big game. Splatoon 2. Or, like, you know, Mario Kart 8. Or when it comes out, Smash Brothers. If their online is broken, that's going to hurt the game.
But online is working for those games you mentioned.
For now, but yeah. But, like, where's the rest of the stuff that they promised? Like, I get it that, like, they're not great at online. But, dude, come on, make an attempt. There's nothing. There's no online right now. There's no online service that they're, I mean, they have, like, the store and stuff, but it's, like, it's even more bare bones than the last console.
But Loki, I'm not trying to be a dick, but this story says it doesn't matter. It sold more than any other system. Done.
Because people wanted Mario games and they wanted Zelda games. What can I say? You know, if you put those on other consoles.
Would you agree, meet me halfway here and say that for the general populace out there, Mario and Zelda is more important than online?
Yes. For some people, Mario and Zelda is more important.
Mm-hmm.
But they're going to need to keep having those types of games, because Mario and Zelda, they're going to get old after a while. And you can only play Mario Odyssey so much. I mean, there's a lot of replayability there, but it's eventually you're going to hit the end of that game, and it's like, well, then what else do I play?
So could there be, so maybe, and, you know, maybe there is some method to the madness here, where some of these features are like peeling back the layers of the onion. Like, maybe this year, you know, the online, the full support with Virtual Console and all that, that's going to be the next layer we get. Or maybe finally freaking Netflix and all that other stuff. Although they did get Hulu, so that's already kind of starting a little bit, but maybe more of that, you know, and then it will peel back into, who knows, maybe a Switch Deluxe version, because you know, this is Nintendo, you know, this will not be the only version of Switch. There's going to be a Switch Deluxe or a Switch 3D, or so, I don't know, I'm making shit
up. There's just a lot of frustrating things with their design, and, like, some of it's really good, and some of it's really bad. Like, the really good part, like, this, the design of the console is pretty nice. The bad part, the storage on the console is pathetic.
Go to our chat over at live.vognetwork.com. We have a couple people. We have an anonymous chatter, 287, saying online gaming doesn't matter to me. Bobby says online gaming doesn't matter to me either. 287 also says, I stopped at Diablo 3 when it needed online activation. You know, interesting that you bring that up, though, about Diablo 3, because it just kind of go, you know, a lot of people were really ticked off about that, and Blizzard really had to scale that back. Now, the PC version still needs online activation, but Blizzard did ultimately release the PlayStation 3, 4, Xbox, you know, comparative versions that don't require any online. And that's why people have, like, gold cheated the shit out of those games, too, because they're not online and people can kind of do that easier.
Who gives a shit? Who gives a shit if they gold cheat the shit out of the offline game?
Yeah, if it's offline and they're in their own little island, let them do whatever the fuck they want.
But however they have fun with
it. It's when you go in with other people and fuck up their games, too, when they may not want that. They may want a pure, quote-unquote, game. That's when it's an issue. But I get what you're saying.
But the problem is, though, is if we let them just keep getting away with their online being shitty, it's always going to be shitty. And at some point, it is going to matter. And that's my problem is, like, get with the times. All the other consoles are doing it just fine. Why can't you be up there with them?
Fifth Dream in chat at live.vognetwork.com says, Pokemon will sell so many Switches. Well, that's true. I mean, we know Nintendo's got that coming this year. When you ask, you know, what are the big games on the Switch this year? Maybe Metroid Prime. I mean, maybe this year, but we know Pokemon is probably the tentpole fall release. And so, and that's going to be huge for Nintendo. I mean, even, and I'm not like, you know, Shane levels of Pokemon obsessed. Well, Pokemon Go maybe, but you know, with Pokemon, I'm so excited to check out the Switch one because I think being able to play it on the TV, I think it is going to make a difference. If I can sit on the couch and chill and, you know, hunt shinies or whatever. I don't like gaming on the 3DS a lot unless I am in a situation, you know, if I took more mass transit or I was in that situation where I would need that more often, I think I would, but I don't. So anyway.
And yet you got a portable console.
I do because there's always, because then the games will come out for it. Like, how else would I play Samus Returns? That's my only option right now. There are still a lot of good games that come out on 3DS.
No, I'm talking about the Switch.
Oh, what do you mean? Well, of course I bought the Switch.
Yeah, because it's a portable console, basically.
Yeah, it's both. Yeah, I know Nintendo says most people are playing it in portable mode, but I'm playing it way more in TV mode. Although, certainly I've had flights out back east, you know, and stuff this past couple, you know, months where I do take the Switch, and I played Mario Odyssey on the airplane not that long ago. So, I mean, it happens. So, anyway. Going to chat over at live.vognetwork.com. ActDeft in chat says Pokemon and Smash will consolidate the Switch. Yeah, we never know. Bobby Blackwell says I'll probably get Dragon Quest XI because of the dual view, going back to the 3DS XL and, you know, why he likes it there. 287 in chat says this Pokemon on the Switch might be the one that brings me back to Pokemon games since I bought the blue version ages ago. You know, and with all the Pokemon Go hype, you know, that brought a lot of people back to the series that haven't played it in a long time. And then, you know, just build on that now with the biggest system in America right now, according to these sales numbers, getting Pokemon, that's going to also be huge.
So. Well, yeah, and especially if some of these, you know, console manufacturers like Microsoft and Sony don't put out, like, a really strong lineup for the fourth quarter, or, like, throughout the year. I mean, granted, Sony does have a lot of things in the pipe. It's just, when is that going to hit? And same with Microsoft, though. Microsoft has a lot of stuff I know is out there, but, like, I don't know when the hell any of that's coming out.
Well, and again, that's why I'm really curious about, is Microsoft potentially going to, or anybody, I mean, this could be Sony, too, going to try to see what's going on here with Nintendo, and they're just going to straight up jack. Sorry, guys. Setting up something for the next story. Are they just going to straight up, like, jack the idea?
I think it's too early to straight up jack the idea right now. And I don't think that they're going to do another Vita. I would like to see a portable console from one of them.
Well, but
what would it do? I mean, honestly,
when it comes to Sony, I think in a way they've lost my trust a little bit with portable consoles because they put them out and then they didn't support them. So I would really want to hear some type of commitment from Sony that they have a 4-year plan, a 5-year plan with their next portable. But the weird thing is, I say all that, yet I'm thinking in the back of my mind, but Japan, it's still thriving. So it's one of those things where it's like, if I'm going to trust Sony with another portable console, I want the commitment that they're going to stick with it. and not abandon ship after 2 years. But I also understand that sales drive everything. Even Nintendo probably had to abandon Wii
and
U.
And I want it to be awesome, and I don't want them to do stupid experimental shit like, oh, let's put a touch panel on the back of the fucking thing. Why? Why did you do that? That's dumb.
All right. So we're going to move on here. Speaking of Nintendo, I have some Nintendo rumors. Look, I know not all you guys are into the rumor chat, but the way we envision this show is that we all are sitting at the dinner table after playing games at the arcade, and there's always going to be inevitably somebody at the dinner table that says, hey, did you hear about that Nintendo's doing this? So,
girl, hold your wig, because I got some news for
that's
you.
That's right. That's right. So let's get into a few rumors here. And you, I would think I should play Adele's like Rumor Has It or something as like an intro to this, but I think that's a little too obvious. So I'm going to go a little more deep cut here. Anybody remember Lindsay Lohan when she had a singing career? There you go.
I remember when she was talented.
Right, that's Bobby Blackwolf right there. I'm sick of rumors starting. This is the Bobby Blackwolf anthem sitting by, sung by Lindsay Lohan. All right, let's get to some rumors that have come out this week about Nintendo. Okay, here's the big one. There's a YouTube that showed up out there that was showing the supposed 5.0 firmware for the Nintendo Switch. And the video has since been removed. Some folks, the evidence, I guess, whatever, shows that this is fake, but it was floating around Twitter. However, one Twitter user made the case for why it's fake. Big Red N in a tweet says, the system update leak is fake. The console has Mario Kart 8 DX downloaded digitally, which takes up 6.8 gigs of space, but only 2 gigs of system memory is taken up, less than 3.2 gigs of the SD card storage is taken up, and only 0.9 gigabyte cloud storage is taken up. So in other words, the storage numbers gave it away, basically, that the video was a fake. I felt the video was a fake based on the merit of I mean, it was really this for me. Did you see where, like, Hulu, Crunchyroll, YouTube, or whatever it was, Twitch, was all, like, in one little folder or something like that? I just think that design is not what Nintendo's going to go with. I think it's as simple as that. I don't think
they're
going to consolidate.
Don't they have folders on 3DS, though?
What's that?
Don't they have folders on 3DS?
They do, but they don't look like that. They don't look at all like that. And so I don't think the miniature icons thing doesn't work for me. That's not what Nintendo's going to do, even if they go to folders. They're not going to show miniaturized versions of game artwork or things like that, because that would include Nintendo's own game artwork, which I think they want to show in a different light. That's really as simple as it is for me. So there you go. So everybody in here pretty much thinks that's a fake. And even those in chat, I think, are like, nah. I mean, Nintendo may do something with new firmware, but that's, you know, as sure as the sun is going to rise, you know, and fall every day. Anyway, let's talk about some other rumors, and maybe these are more on the scale of, well, maybe this could happen, but I'll see what you guys think of this.
Technically, the sun stays stationary and the earth moves.
Thank you for that bit of science, Dark Soccer. I appreciate it. All right. Fucking science. All right. Anyway, let's talk about Bayonetta 3 and Metroid Prime 4. Well, we know those games are coming. Nintendo's confirmed them both. But apparently Nintendo Norway's site says that these games are for this year, both Metroid Prime 4 and Bayonetta 3. That is a little bit more surprising, I think, in the Bayonetta 3 department, because we just found out that that exists. So what do you guys think? Bayonetta 3, could it actually happen this year?
It's placeholder.
Yeah.
You think it's more a placeholder?
I think it's all placeholder.
Apparently this is from Nintendo's site.
Doesn't matter.
Bayonetta 3, Metroid Prime 4, and Kirby Star Allies, as well as many other games that we will reveal during the year. We're looking forward to 2018, blah, 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 blah.
It's all placeholder.
We'll see. I think it could happen, though.
I don't see why Metroid Prime 4 isn't something for this year.
We have an entire year. It could happen.
Yeah, that's true. All right. Moving on. One more thing, and this... Oh, darn it. That was the same story. Uh-oh, that's bad. Did I put the same link twice in there?
You must have.
Son of a gun. All right, well, there was another one in there. Does anybody remember what the other Nintendo rumors were? Let's see if I can find it here real quick.
I have one.
I'm quickly trying to find it here about... Oh, shucks. Oh, well. Go ahead, Dark Sakura. What do you have for us?
Well, there is a... A discussion that was set up, I'm trying to actually find where the location was, that
there's, oh, the site is Resetera, and there is someone named John Harker who has had some pretty accurate predictions. Came in with saying that there is a Nintendo Direct scheduled for the 11th. And that they don't know, he doesn't know if the timing has changed, but it also was confirmed by another poster named Emily, who said that SNK has a Switch title also in development. And it was a discussion about these 18 Nintendo Switch titles that popped up on Amazon yesterday.
Here's the thing, though. Nintendo's going to do a Direct eventually. That's how they put out their news, and we only know the news through, what, like March or April. They've still got to date that Kirby game, which we know is going to be summer and stuff. So they're going to do a Direct, but don't hold them to the 11th. And even in this whole thing, what, the guy said the 11th, but the timing may have changed. I mean, that's a...
And an EA employee leaked something about there being a Direct this month, too.
I'm sure there'll be a Direct this month, but just don't be disappointed if it's not the 11th.
So the thing, though, about the mystery games is that if you type in parentheses, Switch title, not parentheses, but in quotes, Switch title in Amazon search, it comes up with Switch title 23, Switch title 24, with no name and with price points on them. One of them listed as $99.
It's probably a collector's.
That's all placeholder.
It could be a collector's edition or something, too. Yeah,
but that means that we're probably getting some announcements soon.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Maybe the $99 for the Kirby thing, and there's like a cute little plushy Kirby that comes with it, and you know ACT-EFT is already going to Amazon now to put in the pre-order.
Maybe.
All right. Going to chat over at live.vognetwork.com. ACT-EFT points out they always do a Direct in January. Yeah, but the cycle's a little off because the Switch, I mean, that was a Direct, but it also wasn't. It was actually a press conference in Japan. They kind of did it Direct style. Remember that? Because they had the people on stage doing that little snapping thing that was really cute. So they did that in January. But, I mean, again, this whole fact that Nintendo is just up and done whatever the fuck they feel like doing. They put out a console in March, and a lot of people at that time thought, well, that's weird that they're doing it outside the holiday period. But
they did that with the 3DS, too.
They seem to be doing okay. So... anyway, I found the other rumor thing that I was going to bring up, and this is actually kind of a – I think it's a big one. It has to do with Konami, which, you know, we used to love a lot, and then they've fallen out of favor. And now they're probably trying to come back and possibly through retro stuff. We know the Bomberman game probably did better than expected, and Konami, you know, for better or for worse, has been supporting that pretty well with follow-up content. Well, apparently, some of the WiiWare Rebirth games are looking to come back on the Switch. That was Gradius Rebirth, Castlevania the Adventure Rebirth, and Contra Rebirth. Did you ever check these out on the Wii? I played the Castlevania one. It was basically the Game Boy game, but then they kind of redid it in a Super Nintendo style and put it on the Wii. It was pretty...
It sounds familiar, but I don't think I ever played them.
And I don't think a lot of people did. You know, the WiiWare games... kind of got flooded a little bit, and I'm not sure if everybody kind of knew this was out there. So it wouldn't surprise me if they get a second chance. And this is, again, one of those things where it's like Konami could do this kind of easily, but I don't know. But anyway, we'll see what happens with that. So, I mean, again, that's just somebody on, and I don't know what criteria this guy even has rather than saying it's a Konami rumor or whatever, but it would be kind of neat if that did happen.
Yeah,
I think we'd like to see Konami, you know, again, Konami's one of those companies where it's like, I want to root for them, but I want to root for the old Konami. So maybe I want to see Konami kind of go back to their roots and do a lot of the stuff that works for them and make some changes in how they run their business.
Yes.
So, I mean, you know, I think that's about the nicest way I can put it. So, all right. Anyway, Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, Konami, never heard of them. I saw their name on a slot machine. Yes. Well, you know, that business will still do very well for him. All right, Loki, what do we have next?
All right. So kind of going into the whole CES thing, which is going to be actually starting, I think, this week. CES, they're going to be showing off, or at least teasing, that there's going to be a new Vive shown off, that a second-generation Vive with a higher-resolution screen is going to be something that you might see there. In fact, they have a little tease on Twitter saying, New Year's, and it's all blurry, resolution, and then 1818. And, yeah, so I guess we'll see tomorrow that there's going to be a new Vive or something.
Well, I mean, you know, if they do new phones every year, why not upgrade the tech in the VR every year? It makes sense.
I'm waiting. I'm on the fence waiting for. I hope that the price is right. Because I think the Vive's pretty expensive right now, but the tech's nice.
Well, usually when new tech comes out, old tech gets cheaper. So would you maybe jump in on the old tech, knowing it would drop in price?
I do want to jump in on something maybe this year. I have to see, like, the setup with the Vive and the whole room scale stuff is pretty large. I know that's, I think, a little bit more optional, but, like, I don't know.
The Vive is, I mean, the reason why you have all that set up is that the accuracy is much better on the Vive than probably anything
else. Yeah, I'm down with that. It's just, you know, it'd be kind of crazy to set that up in my living room.
Yeah,
you're like, what the fuck are you doing?
Your,
like,
kids
trying
might
to watch
take
TV.
You.
Why are you walking in front of the TV?
That's true. I would have a problem with that here, too, because Mr. Smush would probably try to climb
like my son,
the
like today, I'm like punching people in the game, and he's like, what are you doing? Can I play that? I'm like, you better step back because I don't want to hit you.
Bobby Blackwolf making a new offer in chat. I'll sell Loki my old Vive if they have a new Vive.
But I want the new Vive.
There's an there's a way to do it. That happens with phones sometimes too. I'm getting the new one, so I'm selling my old one.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. All right. Let me talk about some New Year's messages from some of your favorite gaming companies, including Squeenix. Yosuke Matsuda talked in a message here. Posted a letter this week that talked about, you know, I want to wish everyone a happy new year. And the content industry is going through all these different changes, including VR, AR, MR, and so forth. So they mention in here specifically he's calling out VR, AR, and MR. And what's interesting is that he actually brings up the Olympic Games and Paralympic Games, because those games are happening, of course, in Tokyo this year. So Japan is trying to ramp up 5G infrastructure. So meaning there are more mobile networks that provide constant connectivity and support massive data traffic at a low cost. So kind of saying, like, you know, what could this do for mobile gaming? These technological advances could result in new forums for creating content and new business opportunities. And then he goes into talking about a richer lineup of digital content platforms, mentioning again smartphone shipments are in excess of 1.5 billion units. He mentions the Nintendo Switch, which he called a major global success, selling more than 10 million units worldwide, but then also called out the PlayStation 4 for selling 70 million units, and then the Xbox One for adding the Xbox One to its lineup, and then didn't say anything about sales. I can't help but notice those things. Now, I'm not trying to be rude to the Microsoft fans. It's just a little funny. All right. Anyway, so saying, you know, but he did say got off to a good start during the holiday season. So at least if nothing else, you know, Square Enix still recognizes that and seems to be committed to those platforms, even if not necessarily in Japan. So while the consumer console game market has been solid in the West, it's struggling in Japan, but we expect the Japanese market to gain significant vitality as it joins the overall trend. So kind of interesting, you know, he's just talking about that it's been good. In 2018, we're going to leverage the global acceleration of technological evolution as well as prevailing market trends in order to provide high quality, high creative contents so that we can bring new amazement and fun to our customers the world over. Again, that's Yosuke Matsuda from Square Enix. So what do you guys think hearing all that? I mean, Square Enix really seems like they're going to have their fingers in every pot. They're going to do mobile. They're doing the Switch. You can still expect Xbox One and PS4, you know, stuff. Same, same. It sounds like Square's kind of committed to everything.
Well, I'm excited about AR stuff. I mean, that's why I got the Pixel 2, because that was one of the phones that does support some of that AR stuff. That's a non-Apple phone.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still waiting for something that's other than these AR stickers, which it's all right. It's just kind of still lame. Still early.
Well, on to a different 2018 message. This one was from Natsume, of course, the makers of Harvest Moon, which is an adorable little series. So this was a letter from Hiro Mekawa, who's the president and CEO of Natsume. And, of course, it did focus on Harvest Moon because that's that company's kind of bread and butter. He starts by sharing a little bit of, you know, his memories with Harvest Moon, but also pointing out that, you know, in celebration of Harvest Moon's 20th anniversary, we've developed a new Harvest Moon title, Harvest Moon Light of Hope. It's the first Harvest Moon to be multi-platform, PC, Nintendo Switch, and Sony PlayStation 4. The PC version was released in November, and the Switch and the PS4 are going to be released early this year. And he just kind of continued to say, thank you for the continued support. We have several other exciting titles coming this year in addition to Harvest Moon Light of Hope for Switch and PS4, so stay tuned. And they are committed to quote, make everyone happy. That's their corporate mission. Don't you just want to hug them? Natsume always had some of the cutest boosts at E3. That was the big inflatable cute cows and stuff. So
yeah,
you can't help but just pinch their little cheeks and go, you're so damn adorable. All right. You going to play some new Harvest Moon, Dark Sakura? I'm surprised that's a series you don't play
more. I didn't like it. That was never my thing.
Really?
It was always you know whose thing.
Okay, fair enough. Let's see. 287 in chat says, Natsume for the win. Fifth Dream in chat says, Harvest Valley. All right. Harvest, you didn't check out Harvest Moon? I might check it out on Switch. Might be cute. I want to see what it looks like.
I still haven't played the other farming game. So many farming games.
There's a lot of farming games. Farmville Simulator and Farming Simulator. There's
yeah, one of those every I need a cross between like Farming Simulator and like with the romance options of Mass Effect or any BioWare game. I think we need to do
call
that.
It Barn Life.
I'm down with that. That's fine.
You actually did have that in World of Warcraft in a quest.
I do remember that, yeah. Well, they kind of, and they really expanded on that in later expansions when you have, like, the garrison, and now they kind of, you don't really have the garrison anymore, the Mr. Garrison. You have the allies that you send out.
Yeah,
it's kind of a similar thing.
But it always makes me laugh to go back, because that's always why I want to do my level there for Alliance, is because I love that whole stupid quest line.
I understand.
I took a great picture of Mr. Smush, by the way.
Which, WoW is going to be changing pretty significantly in the coming weeks whenever that patch rolls out, because the leveling is going to change completely. You will be able to level 1 to 60 in any zone in the old world, because the level scaling that they do, you know how the level scaling in Legion?
Yeah.
You can kind of go from 100 to 110, like kind of however you want. They're doing that with old content, and then what's going to happen is 70 to 90, no, sorry, 60 to 80 is going to be, you can go to Northrend or you can go to Outland. Pick which one you like more and stay there. Yeah. And then they're going to do like 80.
I think that's when I'm going to re-up.
Yeah. And a lot of people are looking at that.
Either that or I might just go ahead and do it while I'm recovering so I can get my, because I was already, I had just finished the Gul'dan raid.
Mm-hmm.
So I shouldn't take me too long to catch up.
Well, let's move on. You have a new story for us.
It has
right?
nothing to do with WoW. It has everything to do with Kylo Ren's abs. So there's already a mod for Star Wars Battlefront 2 that lets you play as Matt the Radar Technician. Which, if you don't know, Saturday Night Live did this thing where it was like the undercover bosses show or whatever it was, where he went incognito, where Kylo Ren went as Matt the Radar Technician to see what the employees on the Starkiller base thought of him. And then, you know, he came out as, you know, oh, it's me. Oh, we knew it was you the whole time. Oh, great. Whatever. So, but he had like these old, like 80s style, you know, glasses and, you know, a bad blonde wig. So he is in Star Wars Battlefront 2 as a mod. So, yeah, don't force choke employees in the break room. And also, if you haven't seen that sketch, watch it because it's fucking hilarious. Okay.
It is great. That was Saturday Night Live is getting a little bit of its groove back. A little bit.
It's still not as good as it was in the 90s.
Or the 70s. But it's, you know, it's getting its groove back. It's not as bad as it was either. Because yeah. It was pretty bad there for a while.
But that whole skit is amazing.
It is pretty great. All right. So let's move on with Loki.
All right. So, you know, that game that everybody's into nowadays, that Star Wars Battlefront 2, it's being updated quite a bit. Oh, I'm sorry. Not the Star Wars Battlefront 2 that's out now. The one from 2005, actually. So the 2005 version, which is probably, I wouldn't say a better version, but the better version, is being continually updated. There's actually a lot of people playing it still, and they've been doing some different patching and optimizations, including improving the lobby functionality, adding Steam usernames that show up correctly now when you're playing, and then they had more accurate ping calculations and stuff like that. So if you're sick of Battlefront 2 and you want to play some better Battlefront 2, you can do that, because they have it available, the classic version, I think, on Steam.
Yeah, I think they do sell the old one on Steam.
They do. So, you know, definitely worth checking out if you don't have it. And even if you do have it, you should just check it out. $10 for the the non-loot box filled garbage Battlefront 2 game.
Can I do a quick aside real quick that's not related to gaming that's going to disgust all of you?
So, no.
So Alan and I celebrated 8 years of dating this past week because we started dating January 4th of 2010.
Yay.
And I just want to point out, no, and it is related to what's going on right now because he just got back from his other Sunday night stuff he does. And he just brought me a Starbucks. Didn't even ask. And he knew that I'd already had a coffee before the show because he said, it's hot cocoa. It's not coffee. What a guy. So I just have to do a little moment. But he just yelled from the living room, barf.
Listen, this isn't River City Ransom.
But it should be. River City Ransom is awesome. Oh, my God. I'm just looking in chat over at live.vognetwork.com. I think the Ingress takeover is beginning because I see Azette and Rockat are both in our chat right now chatting. So that's awesome.
What's up, guys?
My buddies from Ingress here locally.
Well, I think the only person I've spoken with is Rockat, other than just seeing people in our our group discussion. For those who don't know, on Ingress I go as Kuro Tsubasa, which is always the nickname I use when Dark Sakura is not available.
Fair enough. Ooh, this hot cocoa is good. All right. Let's move on to one more story before we get to the classic game of the week. But this kind of has to do with classic games a little bit. This has to do with a new game. And it's a shooter game, Dark Soccer. You might be into this. A top-down shooter, and it's a Sega. Well, it's not by Sega, but it's going to be on the Mega Drive, the Genesis, and the Dreamcast. It is called Xenocrisis.
What?
They're trying to recreate the look and feel of classic Sega games do this new... It's going to be new Sega Genesis cartridge and CD-based releases. So Xenocrisis, it's going to be a procedurally generated labyrinth. That means a roguelike, but that's okay. Of alien, it looks like Alien Syndrome.
Holy shit!
Like, doesn't it just look like Alien Syndrome?
Alien Syndrome.
It does to me
a bit, except it doesn't have the big blobby things everywhere. Because that was always what defined Alien Syndrome to me. But dude, this fuck me, I need this.
Well, you can go to Kickstarter because that's where it is right now. They are looking at putting out the ROMs and cartridges in October 2018. To try to be right alongside the 30th anniversary of the Mega Drive's launch in Japan. You can check that out by searching Xenocrisis, that's X-E-N-O Crisis, over on Ye Old Kickstarter. Good luck to those guys.
15 pounds for a downloadable ROM file?
Yeah, not bad, right?
Not bad at all.
I think it's interesting that they're embracing that route, too, where it's like...
A Dreamcast file.
Oh, so you can burn your own disc. Why not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But 25 pounds gets you the Mega Drive ROM, the Dreamcast file, and the OST.
Might have to get in on that.
But one of them says this is a Switch download as well.
All right.
Anyway.
Sorry to distract you, Jamie. We got to get to the classic game of the week. Not Halo. Talked about that earlier. That'll be later if y'all make it. But this week, Dark Soccer is going to jump into the gaming vault and find a game that she thinks, hey, you brats, put down your newfangled Breath of the Wilds, your Mario Odysseys, and your PUBGs or PUGBs, whatever that thing is, and play this game instead.
Yeah.
The classic game of the week. Dark Soccer, what is the classic game of the week this week?
RaceStorm, which is a scrolling shooter that was developed by Taito. It only came out in Japan in arcades in 1996, and later on there was a PlayStation port in 97, and the Sega Saturn version that came out as Lair Section 2. There were other releases of it that came, including versions and compilations, but I'll get to that in a moment, because RaceStorm is probably one of my favorite, I would say, shooters, and on top of that, it was one of the babies that Working Designs released.
There's no menu music. I need to fast forward here.
I think I put a timestamp in my original link.
Oh, I missed it. Sue me. There we go. Much better.
Okay. So, and it is in the whole series that was Rayforce, Ray Crisis, you know, all of those Ray games. So it actually is the big thing that sets this apart from the other ones is that the big thing with this is it started off using polygon chips instead of sprites. And you basically have
different modes that you can play through. It actually has a few things with the PlayStation versions that made it similar to Xevious 3D. But it all is pretty much that shooting, but it has another element to it. With the element as well, you have your laser weapon as your primary offense and a missile that locks onto targets. So you move around the screen, locking it onto a target, and then you shoot missiles. And then you have your special attack, where if you fill your bar to maximum, then you get multiple lock-ons. You also have another one that's a hyper laser assault that's basically like a charging blast. You can play as two ships. One's the Argray, one that has a single laser that spreads out. And you have your lock-on and multiple missiles. And then the Argray 2, which is twin lasers with higher attack power, but it has less range. And your lock-on is 16 targets. It has all kinds of different modes. You have the arcade mode. You have your extra mode that has enhanced graphics and extra enemies, different bosses, tougher difficulty, and a different ending. And in extra mode, you get a continue that lets you continue to add up your score. There's another one that's called 13 Players, which you have to complete the game using a total of 13 ships from 5 groups, 3 Argray 1 ships using manual, 3 using a different man, 3 Argray 2 ships with manual control, and then you have the auto methods. Basically, you have to use it in every type of method, and then the Argray 0 prototype ship that you basically have to obtain through the game. And you'll also get a fourth ship called the Argear that you will be able to play. So this game, basically, I would probably say is one of, I'd say, the best games that came out in the PlayStation era. So it really was, number one, a challenging game, but also a pretty game with great music as well.
It's a shooter game, I remember, and that says something. But it's that style. It's that the way the polygons are kind of like 3D-ish, tilted down, like a kind of the Zelda Adventure of Link style, but more with polygons than sprites. Because, you know, it's got a great look to it.
Well, at any rate, they had talked about there being this actually went through kind of an interesting development cycle for actually it should be more with the North American release of it, is that several companies were trying to get it released, but no one came forward. Working Designs was working with Taito to try to license Rayforce, but Acclaim stepped in and did that. So when Raystorm came out, they jumped right in on it, licensed it immediately, and met with Taito to talk about the conversion for American release. It was their first release for the PlayStation by Working Designs, and it was released under their Spaz label for shooter games. It was also listed as, you know, a full, you know, Ray game. Yeah, I use that quote fingers that no one could see. And then a playable demo came out, one of those little interactive CD samplers. So after Squeenix acquired Taito, it came on as a PlayStation Network game in Japan in 2008. And then basically all the other ones came out eventually on PlayStation 3 and PSP. And then there was the Raystorm HD that came out as a downloadable for PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360 in 2010. And we got it in the U.S. and Europe as well. Oh, sorry, North America and Europe. And the original game, though, played on a Sony ZN1 JAMA board. So there are hacked versions of it that will play on the Taito GNet system. So there's that, too. So as far as compilations that came out, there's Taito Memories Volume 2, which in Japan was Taito Memories Gekkan, that had a bunch of other Taito games. There's Taito Legends 2 for PlayStation 2, G Darius Plus Raystorm Pack, and Simple 1500 Series Volume 7, the double shooting for PlayStation, which also included Ray Crisis.
I love the Simple series.
You do?
Yeah. Because the Simple 2000 series is what brought us Earth Defense Force. Chambara.
Okay.
The other thing is that Working Designs, as they've been known to do, revise the difficulty in it. They basically made it a little bit tougher, I think. So if you set the difficulty below 4, then it runs a training mode. But after 4, it's like the full version. So basically, it's trying to encourage people to play it on higher difficulties. And that they fixed an issue with the Japanese version where compatibility with certain game controllers, there was some issues with compatibility. There's another version of Raystorm by Cyberfront that came out for DOS that was based off of the PlayStation release, but it didn't have like all of the arranged items. And then the PlayStation 2 version of Taito Memories and Taito Legends 2 only has the arcade mode list in the series. So yeah, basically, the game itself, it was considered a little short, but it was, amazing to play. Lots of fun. And of course, those difficulty levels would, definitely encourage, replay and an ongoing challenge, especially when you're trying to unlock things and get the extra ships and trying to get the true ending. Now, it did have quite the legacy. So Ray Crisis did come out 2 years later, and it had the home versions actually had the Argray 1 and 2 as hidden ships from this game. And then Taito released Huda Huda Park, that was a collection of mini games that was inspired by their arcade games for the that was put out for the Wii. And it had the Raystorm mini games that were basically kind of bullet hell mini games. So there you go.
All right. Classic game of the week. Real classic shooter, Raystorm.
Raystorm. What a great game. Right. And don't worry, guys. I will eventually do some of the Thunder Force games. A couple of people have asked me privately.
You've done now, you're coming up on 500 classic games of the week. I mean, I've helped. Loki's helped. Some of our guests have helped in the weeks you haven't been here, but you're coming up on almost 500 classic games in the archive. Can you believe that?
But remember, y'all, if you want Halo, $300 more dollars.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we have plenty more show to come, including Rapid Fire News. We're going to do some release dates and take your calls at Orange Lounge Radio on Skype. That is all coming up after we take a quick break, so don't go anywhere. We're going to be right back with the conclusion of tonight's Orange Lounge Radio. Welcome back, everybody, to Orange Lounge Radio live tonight with episode number 713 in progress for this January the 7th of 2018, our first show of our 16th year of broadcasting, if you can believe it, since 2002. We're getting old. All right. Mm-hmm. You missed some of our 2018 predictions early on, as well as kind of looking back at the messy notes we left ourselves. Somebody should have told us to clean up those notes earlier. Oh, well, we learned for next time. Let's get back into some gaming news, and we'll get to your calls a little later at Orange Lounge Radio. I don't think we have emails tonight. I'm going to have Dark Soccer let me know in the mailbag, but we may get to calls a little sooner than that because of that. But let's do rapid fire news first. Loki.
Yes, let's talk about some games that have been translated into English. And so one of these games, well, it's the latest Tingle game. That's right. So, Ripen Tingle's Balloon Trip of Love,
yay!
Which was released in 2009, has now had a English patch created for its ROM. So, if you feel like playing that, you can now download the patch to play it in English. Hooray!
I'm so happy that you are reporting this news to us.
Yes. Another game that's also been translated in English now is Super Famicom Wars. It is now playable in English as well. It came out, I guess, on the Game Boy Advance in Japan. But yeah, that's pretty cool as well. And of course, if you're not into translations, maybe you're into fan mods, in which case you can play the newer Super Mario Brothers DS. So they did a newer Super Mario Brothers game out on the Wii, but this is actually a mod of the DS game. It's a fan-made game. And you can actually only play it on the PC because it doesn't run in an actual ROM. But yeah, it was made using the new Super Mario Brothers editor, apparently. So there you have 80 levels, 8 world maps, and they even had some changes to the graphics and a new soundtrack. So you can check that out as well online.
That's cool that they even went in on and did the soundtrack.
Yeah, the music was different. I didn't really play the new Super Mario or new Super Mario Brothers on DS, or at least not enough to see half this stuff. So I'm not positive how much of this is all really new, but I see Mario in a minecart. I don't remember that was in the game, but
yeah, that's pretty neat.
Yeah.
All right. Well, a little change in Pokemon Go for those of you that are still playing Pokemon Go, which is it's a lot more of you than people tend to think. Because I was at I didn't talk about this on the show, but I went to a nest here locally. You know how like Pokemon's nest in certain areas. So over in a not so great part of town is where the Whalmers are nesting, and Whalmer is a Gen 3 like whale Pokemon, and like Magikarp, it takes 400. Candies to evolve one, so you have to catch a lot of Whalmers, right? So I was actually at a farm, and there was a lot of people walking around that park and all staring at their phones playing Pokemon Go. So it's still a thing. So I know there's some people that were a little sad to hear that yes, there are more Pokemon that are being region exclusived, but this time something unique happened this past week. They flipped. So Zangoose and Seviper were region exclusives, and that's probably because in the original anime and in the games, they had a little bit of a feud, because I don't know if you guys know, but Mongooses and Viper, you know, their Mongoose snakes are kind of like a rivalry.
Yes, I saw Rikki Tikki Tavi as well.
Yeah, there you go. So they have a rivalry in the games as well, so they stay far away from each other, but unlike Kangaskhan and Tauros and Mr. Mime, what happened is that Zangoose and Seviper flipped. So they flipped, so now we can't catch Zangoose anymore. Hopefully you got one while they were here, but you can get Seviper, which I still have yet to see one, but I'm hoping in the next couple weeks.
I've yet to see either of those.
Well, the good news, there was a Zangoose on the house here not that long ago. I'm lucky in that for some reason, like there's always like 3 Pokemon on top of the house.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, but something to keep in mind is that if they flip this, maybe they'll flip back. What I'm really hoping is that Plusle and Minison, I hope I said their names right, but it's plus and minus, little Pikachu ripoffs, the battery Pikachus. The battery Pikachus are also region exclusive. So we have plus, and Asia and you know everything on the other side of the ocean has minus.
Remember when I won plushies of those at E3?
Oh, I do. They're so
I need
cute.
To get them back from Julie.
They are really cute. So hopefully those guys will flip too. That would be very nice. So... JD in our chat says, I got 2. It's been very cloudy, so poison boost. And ActDeft correcting me on the names there. Plusle and Minion are the names there. Over at live.vognetwork.com. All right. Let's move on to one other quick news, which has to do with the Miiverse Archive. The Miiverse Archive, or Archiveverse, has been... made live. It's up. You can dig through old Miiverse posts from the Wii U and the 3DS. Apparently over 8 million user profiles, 133 million posts, 75 million screenshots, 72 million drawings, almost 17 terabytes of data. And what's really cool about this is one of the big guys behind this that's doing this, Drastic Actions, has listened to some of our podcasts in the past, at least more Bobby Blackwolf, I know. And in fact, Bobby Blackwolf had him on a show, I think it was the week I was in Seattle, so it was in early November. So if you want to hear more about the project, you can check out that episode of Bobby Blackwolf's show. But it is noteworthy that the project did go live this past week, so a lot of people are checking it out. So if you want to check out the archive, you can do that at Archiverse, ArchiVerse.guide, GUIDE. There you go.
To register participation for this week's episode of Orange Lounge Radio at VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase B.
Let's move on. And Dark Soccer, you have a couple for us.
A couple. It would help if they didn't like go off my screen. There we go. So the IGN editor-in-chief was fired. Basically, it was over alleged misconduct. So basically, IGN put out the investigation regarding Steve Butts, and as a result, they have decided to part ways with him. This was a statement by Mitch Galbraith, who is the executive vice president. And the co-founder and chief content officer, Pierre Schneider, will be taking over as editor-in-chief on the interim. The update basically says that Pierre Schneider will be taking over as long as it takes to get everything right. So, yeah. Pretty crazy stuff.
Also noteworthy, as you know, IGN was in the news not that long ago for purchasing Humble Bundle. So this, you know, transition, which, you know, if the allegations are true, bye. Sounds like 2017 is continuing to take out the garbage.
Definitely garbage.
So anyway, but looking to new year, new me, new society.
Well,
hopefully the Humble Bundle, you know, and all that stuff is going to be overseen by this new guy here.
Well, the other thing, too, is that this basically stemmed from, I'm going to mispronounce her last name, but it's Kaylee Plagg, P-L-A-G-G-E, who is an editor at GameStop. She went public for GameSpot, went public about her experiences working at IGN, that a senior staff targeted her and another female editor with, quote, manipulative and abusive comments. And it was also terribly mishandled by HR, and that's why she left, because she didn't feel safe at her job.
So I know a lot of talk in the Golden Globes going on tonight has to do with everything that we heard about with the garbage dumping in the film industry this past year. So just an unfortunate reminder that it wasn't just the movie industry that was affected by this, but, you know, to try to turn, you know, something that's horrible into something better, you know, at least this shift in our society, hopefully a lot of us are kind of reflecting, going, you know, I'm going to make it my resolution, or whatever you want to call it, to not be shitty to people.
You know what? And it's a little bit of a quote, but if, and this especially goes, if you are teaching your daughters to be careful around men, then teach your sons what consent is. You know, it's fucking stupid. Don't pass on this whole toxic masculinity thing. Teach your kids to not be shithole garbage.
Yeah.
End of story.
Let's end it. You know, if the millennials really want to stick it to the boomers for all the bullshit avocado toast articles, be the generation that ends this shit.
Do it.
Do it.
You can start right now by teaching your kids to stand up for what they believe, no matter how bullied or picked on they are.
As borderline shillennials, or whatever they call that.
It's zennial.
Zennial.
And I think I am just at the edge of Gen X.
Nah.
So, whatever.
Well,
we were the awesome ones because we had grunge and Radiohead. Anyway. So another good, this is some good news. Is that basically the developer at Capcom, who is behind Rival Schools and Capcom versus SNK and Devil May Cry, Itsuno Hideaki, basically has come out and said that they are working on a new game under Climax. In fact, I'll just read the quote. Happy New Year. And it's in English, by the way. Happy New Year. I am sorry that I cannot present a new project last year. The development of the project is now under Climax. I am making a great game, so please expect it. It does kind of sound like you ran it through Google Translate, but
a little bit.
Well, that's honestly enough. Usually if I can't figure out how to say something right in Japanese, it comes out sounding like it came through Google Translate as well. Yeah. So, we're hoping that it's a fighting game. I would really, really like another Rival Schools. Because, I mean, that
just
seriously...
temper your expectations so you're not mad
know.
If it isn't. Yeah.
But, well, the gaming industry, I already predicted I would be disappointed the entire year, so...
That's true.
We'll see how that stays out. But, if we have another Rival Schools, that'd make me happy. Of course, I'm also...
You're not alone in that.
You know, I didn't put it in the time capsule. I should have put the one game I'm looking forward to, which is Dragon Ball FighterZ.
Oh, there you go. And that's not that long that you have to wait for that.
No, not at all. Yeah. That's going to be mine. Especially since I hate this current arc.
But you didn't put that on your games that you were anticipating to be good.
Oops. I didn't make a list of games I anticipated to be good.
Oh, I thought you did.
No. I could just go write it down real quick and put it in there.
We'll
but
just do it when I'm not looking. It's sealed.
Okay.
All right.
But I'm kind of disappointed with the current story arc in Dragon Ball Super, because it's more of the endless stream of bullshit filler. But I do like a lot of the characters that are in it, and finding out that some of these characters are going to be in the game, it makes me really happy.
You know what's weird? Since you brought up anime, you know, I've been talking a lot about MAGFest all the way out in Washington, D.C., the other coast, right? Yet here locally this weekend, we had a con that's actually getting bigger and bigger. Like, Rama was making posts about things that were happening out here at SAC Anime. I don't know if you guys, but yet none of us went for some reason. I heard, actually, our buddy Shane went, and I know was trying to meet one of the voice actors from Danganronpa, and there was a ton of Overwatch voice actors there, I guess, but I just didn't make it out to SAC Anime.
I went to one of the earlier ones that was like the now destroyed Red Lion Inn.
We did a panel.
We did a panel
At SAC Anime when it was still a lot smaller
than it is now.
Maybe
we should look into doing a panel for like the summer version.
Yeah, we should. I think the Game Bang guys do, so...
Why not?
Why not?
Maybe we should do something with them about podcasting.
Yeah, offer to Voltron it up. Yeah,
like cool. We did for Gamer X.
Yeah, maybe I'll reach out to
but they're Gamer Sacramento's X. number one game podcast. So, you know, I don't know if we can touch that.
I'm going to assume that was an old banner before they...
I just give them shit.
I know. Well, yeah, they we're going to give them a little shit, but, you know, nothing but love for the other indie podcasts. That's for sure.
Number one against what, really?
Us.
Well, no, I mean...
There's a couple others. I think there's a couple others based on
this. Is Sacramento.
There's some ladies that have a board game podcast, I think.
It's not video games.
I know, it's not video games, so... I guess it's just us.
And you know what?
No, I'm sure there's got to be others. There's so many gaming podcasts, I just don't know about them all. Oh, the Princess Irene had a show.
Oh, yeah, that's right. She's not doing it. Is she doing it anymore?
I don't know if they've put out new episodes lately. I don't know if they have, so...
Mm.
Yeah, anyway... Mm-hmm. All right, moving on. This would be the part of the show where we would get to the mailbag. Actually, I'll just say it now. I'm doing things out of order. But there are no mails tonight. So if you want to send us an email to read next week, participate@orangeloungeradio.com would be the address to send that to. Reminder, next week we're going to have, I believe last I counted, 4 ladies who play Ingress, which is a game we've talked about on the show. I know not all of you are into it, but I thought it would still be fun to talk about. We're not going to nerd out completely about the inner workings of it, because I don't want to, those of you guys that don't play it, I don't want you to be bored. But we are just going to talk about, like, you know, kind of more like the why. You know, why do you play it? Why is it exciting? Because I think some of these gals do play a lot of other games. I think some of them don't. They only play this. So it'll be kind of a fun show. So if you want to send emails to ask questions about that, you can do that. Participate@orangeloungeradio.com, or really, you can bring up anything. You want to bring up a topic we talked about tonight or something new? Participate@orangeloungeradio.com.
I'm sure that show will never go on tangents. We don't go on tangents.
I'm a little, yeah, next week's show is probably going to be, and to top it all off, I just want to point out, next week is a 3-day weekend because Martin Luther King Day is the next Monday. So if I wanted to have a cocktail during the show, so on top of that, on top of the women taking over the show next week, which is fine. I'm all for that. I may be intoxicated on top of that. So it'll be fun.
We have the makings of a great show.
Yeah, it's all adding up. This will be it. All right. Let's move on to some release dates, although I think it's a little slow this week, right, Loki, in the US?
Yeah, it's still a bit early before the releases come out. They still haven't quite gotten off of their holiday, but we do have a game coming out on the Switch. The Escapist 2 will be coming out on the Switch this week, and that's literally it.
Yeah, the Switch has still been pretty good about the digital releases.
Yeah, and that's true.
All right. Well, coming out this week in Japan, Dissidia Final Fantasy NT. That's right. The Dissidia game's getting its release in Japan this week. U.S. still has to wait a couple weeks past
that,
right?
On the 30th.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see some gameplay, though, of it.
Yeah, I'm very curious about the gameplay, and some of you may not be able to wait. It may just import it, so that'll be cool. Shiawase Shu no Kanarinin-san comes out as well from D3 on the PS4 this week. And then Danganronpa 3 gets a price reduction as it moves into the best price. So I think that means there will probably be more Danganronpa games. I don't think this will be the end of it. By the way, on the PlayStation Vita, where Danganronpa V3 also exists in Japan, it is also getting a price reduction over there. So check that out on the 11th. Nothing on the Nintendo Switch, however. I think Dissidia is kind of the lone wolf release this week over in Japan. So
I did want to mention as a random, because I was kind of gleaming through the list for that's coming out for the next few months here. I did notice a title called, what was it, the A Certain Magical Virtualon.
What?
A certain magical virtual on.
The fuck?
That's coming from Sega?
It's coming out in PlayStation 4 and the Vita.
Is it from Sega?
It is from Sega.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy, Darcy.
Oh, shit.
You know what? I think I remember something about this where it's sort of like a...
Toru Majitsu no Virtual On. You know it.
Interesting.
All right.
It's an adaptation and sequel to the crossover light novel that was a crossover between the Toru series and Denno Senki Virtual On. So, there you go.
Well, Jamie, do we have anything in the UK this week, or is it pretty quiet over there?
A few things.
As the beginning of the year tends to be.
On the 10th, Furi, or is it Fury? Anyway.
It's Furi Furi, both.
And on the 12th, The Nightfall for PC.
All right. Let's get back into some other news, and pretty soon your calls at Orange Lounge Radio, all one word, on Skype. Loki, you're excited about this, right?
I am super hyped about this. So out of all the remasters that they could do, at least they picked a great one. And so coming out this spring, EA will be releasing a remaster of Burnout Paradise.
Woohoo!
Hell yes.
Even I'm excited.
Dan's pretty happy about that.
Yeah, this is good news all around.
Yeah, so it's going to be a remaster. It's scheduled to launch.
But are they still going to have the music licenses so when I turn it on, take me down to the paradise city where the grass is green and the girls are pretty? Like, is it still going to?
I don't know.
Let's hope.
But yeah, this was there was an announcement on Twitter talking about that the remaster is coming out in Japan March 16th. So I'd assume that the U.S. version probably around the same time. No word on music licenses yet.
Oh.
And no official confirmation yet either, but hopefully that's soon.
ActDeft in chat says, I want a new Burnout. So, I mean, will you accept this remaster in lieu of a new Burnout at least?
I will accept it for now.
It's something. Yeah, it's a holdover. It's a nice band-aid. It's a nice severance. It's a nice offering from EA, who, let's be real, EA's pissed off a lot of people. So this is a nice little, like, throw this slab of meat at the pack of wolves.
Well, remember, they were developing their, like, own, like, Peace Criterion offering. Was developing their own, like, extreme sports game that kind of went under. So
dope.
I don't remember what they're working on now, but can it be a new Burnout game? I mean, come on, because the Need for Speed games have been kind of lame. So I'd be fine with the Burnout remake early part of the year, and a new Burnout game at the end of the year.
ActDeft in chat says, do you still want Avril Lavigne's girlfriend in the game? I forgot that was
kinda
even in the game.
Kind of have to have it, yeah.
I kind of have to. It's a sign of the times at this point. But what I really want to do is I want to replace the music, because you could do this on Xbox 360. You play your custom soundtracks.
Yeah.
So why not have my awesome 90s soundtrack? And so I can, you know, when my pink car, because you know I drive a pink car, comes out, I want that... Oh, baby, how was I supposed? Because you know that's how I play Burnout.
I'm going to have to replace it all with Super Euro Beat.
Super Euro Beat? Yeah.
You're driving fast. You kind of have to.
That's fair. That's fair. Or just take the soundtrack to Wangan Midnight Maximum.
There you go. Yeah, let's throw that in there.
Let's just get some Yuzo Koshiro up in here.
Tribe in there, yeah.
Of course. JD says, replace the music with gay beats. Why not? PlayStation 4 taps into Spotify. I got my playlist ready to go. Let's do it. Anyway,
I'm down. This is a day one for me.
Yeah, I know. I actually am more excited.
And I
about
have Burnout
this.
Paradise right now on my PC. It's like, and
it's backwards compatible on Xbox One, even, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah,
it is. So yeah.
So let's do it. All right. Anyway, speaking of Xbox One, rest in peace, Kinect. The Kinect. Pretty much, I mean, I don't know. This is circulating all the blogs this week, and I'm kind of like, this is kind of one of those foregone conclusion type of things, because when was the last time a Kinect game came out? It's been a couple years now, right?
Fantasia Just Dance? And all that.
Yeah, I guess Just Dance still supports Kinect, but even Just Dance was
technically
transitioning to the mobile.
Technically, the remakes or remasters of the Disney Kinect games supported Kinect, but they weren't.
But then they also made it.
But they
controller.
Weren't a Kinect game anymore. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, here's the deal: the adapters are no longer being made, so Microsoft has ceased production of these. You have to have one of these adapters to make the Kinect work on the Xbox One S and the Xbox One X. And then in a statement, Microsoft said, after careful consideration, we decided to stop manufacturing the Xbox Kinect adapter to focus attention on launching new, higher fan-requested gaming accessories across Xbox One and Windows 10. So of course, we don't know what that is, but that could be anything from HoloLens coming out eventually, who knows, to whatever else Microsoft may be working on in
or
secret.
Or just random PR speak that just, you know.
Yeah, you know, and again, I kind of already had said my goodbye to the Kinect. You know, I think ever since they uncoupled the Kinect from the Xbox One, we all kind of saw this coming. You know, but I think as much as people want to look back and go, oh, God, the Kinect was kind of garbage. Was it, though? Like, people were really into it when it first came. For games, again, because I realize there's a whole other side to this. For games, people were really into Dance Central. And I fucking love Dance Central. That
Dance
game was
Central
awesome.
Was pretty awesome. It was pretty decent.
When the games were good, they were really good. When they were bad, it was obvious.
It was a problem where, like, a lot of companies didn't know how to utilize it. And they came up with, like, a bunch. And even Microsoft, you know, they did a lot of this, you know, where it's like you can shout grenade and you throw a grenade. It's like, really, is that much more convenient than pushing a button to throw a grenade? Is that really, you know,
grenade.
And then they have like grenade. Oh, you could do all this voice searching and stuff like that in you know, the Xbox. And honestly, like, I've got voice search on my my media box, my Android TV or whatever. Never use it.
So I thought you had to have a Kinect to do live streaming on Twitch through Xbox One, but is it true now that it supports any USB camera? Because I thought I heard Bobby say that on his show, and I was like,
yes.
Whoa, that's news to me.
Yes.
I could have been streaming on Xbox One this whole time, didn't even realize it.
Yes.
God damn it. Because I have an old camera, because I upgraded the camera in the studio or in my office that I use with the green screen for Twitch and everything. But I saw my old camera, which isn't bad, and I could use that on my Xbox One. So
I mean, they had some cool stuff, like even with just the streaming stuff, where like the camera followed you around if you were walking around.
Yeah.
That was kind of cool.
Yeah.
But like,
well, and since you're kind of bridging it to it, it did a lot for, you know, non-game stuff. Like, we've all heard the story about how Kinect was great in hospitals because it allowed people to, you know, you keep the environment sterile, because when you're using motion and not using the actual tools or anything, you're just using, you know, air. You're not getting anything dirty, so you can keep the environment sterile. So, you know, Kinect has done a lot of great things for, you know, other types of stuff that isn't just games. But
and it brought Para to the Xbox 360.
Why not? Why not?
Because they had Dance Paradise.
That's true. They had Dance Paradise. That was
which
one of
was
the,
a terrible game, but
it could have been better. It was just it was hard to understand. Next to Dance Central, Dance Central kind of
yeah. Dance Central is much better. Yeah. Although, if we're gonna be fair, Dance Central, while it was an excellent game, if it weren't for Dance Central, we wouldn't have the stupid dancing game that was in Star Wars Kinect.
I was about to say Star Wars Kinect was kind of the beginning of the end.
Yes, Star Wars Kinect, no.
Yeah, that was kind of the beginning of the end.
Bad Microsoft.
And Bobby confirming in our chat at live.vognetwork.com, it does support USB cameras as of October. See, that's news to me. So that's awesome. Cool. So, well, you know, who knows? The Kinect may be back in some other form or technology.
I hope not.
Well, here's the thing. I think the whole, like, dual cameras to kind of sense, like, space and stuff, like, that kind of, like, you see that type of technology in mobile phones at this point. Like, how does Apple's portrait mode work? It's kind of similar. I mean, it's the face scanning technology is just, it's not that dissimilar from Kinect. It's just a lot more advanced because it's many more freaking laser beams going at your face. So I think the legacy of this technology is going to be in devices from here on out. But as far as Kinect's time in gaming, we're done.
I just don't want them to release. They better not release another Kinect with the next system or something like that. I hope they don't do something like that, because I've already been burned so many times. I don't trust them anymore.
All right. Let's move on with some more stories, and I think you have something for us, right, Jamie?
I do, don't I?
You sure do. I think it's a world traveling story.
Yep, it's about Spain. Basically, a lot of independent developers in Spain are pretty much going to be really unhappy. There's been a decision passed on in the government to block 2 million euros, which is about $2.4 million, in European Union funding for local gaming, for game development. The Minister of Energy, Tourism, and Digital Agenda, Alvaro Nadal, canceled the grant, which was going to go to 20 different developers. Each developer would have received between 50,000 and 150,000 euros. And some of them were for teams of five people or fewer who were working on their first game. So it's really been a major hurdle. Some of the most recent games and forthcoming games that were coming out of Spain was Crossing Souls from 4Attic, Metroid Samus Returns from Mercury Steam, and Rhyme and the Sexy Brutale from Tequila Works. So, and then basically now, there's been an update to this since I first read it, is that they are working on restructuring the grant rather than cutting it completely so that they, I guess, can make sure that the money will be used wisely and used efficiently. So I guess they are doing it. But then again, just that first announcement just seemed like quite the blow. So
just a reminder that games come from all sorts of places, not just the U.S. and Canada.
Totally.
So just a reminder. All right. And Japan, of course. Can't leave them out. But, you know, games come from Europe as well. All right. Loki.
All right. So there's a brand new expansion, or not, it was a mod that's being worked on that expands Skyrim because, you know, there's a ton of those. But this one's been in the works since 2015. And it's a expansion mod called Lordbound. And basically they've added about 15 to 30 hours of extra content. Tons of new dungeons and whatnot. It's supposed to be taking place in a location called Drudach Valley. Which they say is a new location not in Skyrim. But it sits between High Rock and Skyrim. So since I don't know shit about the Elder Scrolls geography... Cool, I guess. but it does look really neat. And so I guess if you want to check it out, they have more progress that you can follow up on ModDB. But yeah, it's coming soon. 2018 is what they're shooting for a release for it. It looks really cool.
When do you think we're going to get an Elder Scrolls 6 to fuck around with? Like, you know, Skyrim's been out a while now. Like, I know it's like it's all new again because of the Switch. But in reality, that game is aging.
Hopefully soon. They've kind of, I mean, I don't know if there's supposed to be another Fallout game, like if they've got another team doing like almost like a Fallout Vegas or a New Vegas, or if we're going to get any more remasters, maybe like a remaster of like a Fallout New Vegas or something.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'd play that. I need to go and finish 4. The problem with 4 is I already know how it ends, and I don't want to go back into it. But I bought all the season pass stuff, which was probably a mistake if I
just check it out. Any of that. Kaijudo in chat says, this mod sounds awful.
It could be. But 30 hours extra content. I mean, being that I've already dropped, you know, several thousands of hours into Skyrim, why not more? I do want at some point to stream stuff, and Skyrim would definitely be one of my first choices.
Do it. All right. Well, last but not least tonight, and y'all were wondering when I was going to officially bring it up, I saved the best for last, y'all. I wanted to mention, and I think it's already kind of been mentioned tonight, because I'm sure a lot of you have noticed, you may be watching it in another tab, but Awesome Games Done Quick is underway. You can check it out, of course, on Twitch. You can also look at their website, gamesdonequick.com. They have a full schedule posted over at Games Done Quick, and I think right now, what are they on there? Were there any? Because I know they, they started Blaster Master Zero while we were mid-show. So I think they're about to... They're still on probably Batman Arkham Asylum, it sounds like. And they're about to get into Little Big Planet 2, where they're going to do a co-op speed run on New Game Plus. So that'll be interesting. Remember Little Big Planet?
I know. I mentioned it today. I was like, man, I should play a little bit. Because I saw it on the... I was looking at the roster. I'm like, oh, Little Big Planet 2. I'm like, I have Little Big Planet 3 sitting in my library, and I have yet to play it. I think I played Little Big Planet 2. I think I did.
But what's
yes, they did.
What's interesting is that there is not. I don't believe it was noted. Super Metroid is not there.
No Super Metroid. That's kind of.
But the last day. Check out this lineup for the last day. You ready for this? Dark Soccer is going to wake up at 6 a.m. on the last day, Saturday. Why? Because that's the Mass Effect speedrun.
No, I'm not going to watch a speedrun of a game that I enjoy for the story.
What a spoil sport. All
I do want to see, and I watched it last year in the archives or whatever, the random...
Yeah, you can always watch it on YouTube anyway.
The random item Link to the Past run,
mm-hmm.
where they shuffle all the items in the game.
But check out this closing day. Mass Effect, Warcraft 3 through the human campaign, Diablo playing a sorcerer, Baldur's Gate 2, Bloodborne, Final Fantasy 4, Zelda Link to the Past, Mario World, and then lastly, the big finale tonight, or the last night, Zelda Breath of the Wild. So, there you go. And then who knows whatever little surprises may
The Breath of the Wild one's going to be 13 minutes.
No, I think they, I think, I
unless they're saying that you have to do a certain amount of stuff, but the,
yeah, I think it's a certain amount of stuff thing.
But the, I think the world record right now for Breath of the Wild is like 10 minutes.
They're anticipating 3 hours for that run, so.
So they must be doing like all the shrines or something.
Yeah. And I noticed in chat over at live.vognetwork.com, Rockhat says, I hate speedruns, but I do laugh at speedrun fails. Well, they've had a few fails through this whole thing. And even if you hate speedruns, I mean, it is for a good cause. So it's, you know, it's for the Prevent Cancer Foundation is where all the money's going this time around. So
the things I don't mind about speedruns, though, is I have a minor obsession with glitches.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I like watching the glitches and learning like where people have found the games are broken or going out of bounds. Well, I mean, it's what I was doing in WoW. Remember when I got my Demon Hunter? I was going in all the old dungeons and exploring and posting screenshots and stuff. I love doing that.
I like people that really work hard at these obscure fucking games. Like people that'll be like, I can speedrun such and such on the 3DO or something where it's like, you're probably the only person
in the expert
world
at running Pepsi Man.
Yeah, exactly. But there's people like that. Like I've watched some of these people that are really into these like obscure ass games. And I think that's, I like that.
I like watching them talking about the history of the game and stuff like that.
And they talk about like why they like the game so much. There's usually some kind of history behind it. That's the stuff I really like. I actually am not as, but you'd be surprised. The Super Metroid running thing is kind of, I don't get quite the same thrill out of that as maybe the first time I saw it.
I want to see a speed run of Magic Pen Gel.
Maybe you need to be the one to learn Magic Pen Gel.
Oh, God.
All phallic mode.
All phallic. Yes. For
those who don't remember, which I would think that game is eligible to be Classic Game of the Week now. But anyway, just saying. Magic Pen Gel was like a Pokemon-ish game on Sony. But you drew all the characters in you like 3D.
Drew your characters sort of in 3D, and it was basically, depending on what colors
dicks,
you used.
Dicks, and more dicks, that's all anybody ever did.
Whatever
drew.
Colors you use, you gave you different abilities and stuff, and so you could just draw like a big ugly blotch of something, and it'd be like the most powerful thing ever.
Exactly.
But yes, usually it was just drawing dongs, lots of dongs. Dongs everywhere. I think we had like a 2DX controller that was a character at one time, and but mainly dongs.
Yeah, I think somebody made like a 2DX controller or something as a Pokemon, just all these silly things. So anyway, Magic Pen Gel, that's a game that needs, that's the game I want to see a remaster for. Who made Magic Pen Gel?
I don't remember. They did a sequel. It was called Graffiti Kingdom. That was like a brawler type game, but I don't remember the company that made it.
Hold on, I'm looking it up.
I know, I'm looking right now.
It was
Taito. Okay. Yeah, Taito published it in Japan, and H
Garakuda Studio.
Yeah.
505 Games.
The original name was called Doodle Kingdom. Well, Rakugai Okoku.
I made a doodle. Hey, phone lines are open, by the way. You can give us a call. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype, if you'd like to give us a call. If you want to do it the old school way, 1-877-GAME-OLR. But Orange Lounge Radio on Skype.
Look at that. Third picture in Graffiti Kingdom. Already found a dick wearing a top hat. internet, you don't let me down.
That would be Sir John Thomas to you.
It's actually Chody. Is his name.
Lord. Write that down.
Whenever, someone call.
Whenever we get into that Orange Lounge Radio charity stream we've been talking about for years, Magic Pen Gel needs to be the kickoff game for sure. For sure. Again, 1-877-GAME-OLR is the old school way to do it. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype, if you would like to give us a call. And apparently, somebody's trying to call us, and it says we're unavailable. That's not good. Let me see if I can do it on my phone just to make sure everything's working. Because Bobby called us earlier, and that worked. So I think the connection's working. But then again, Skype
bad connection
can kind of be a pain in the butt sometimes. So I just don't know. So if maybe somebody wants to help me fill a little time here while I do a test call.
So as I was talking about the remaster of Burnout Paradise coming out on PlayStation 4, not only is it rumored to come out on PlayStation 4, but the Xbox One and the Switch. So you can be playing Burnout Paradise on the Switch. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I just did a test call and it worked. So.
So. Yeah.
Well, those of you that I think SSGO 100.
So I got to ask. Well, no. Bobby's not calling, obviously, but the big thing I've been seeing that like a lot of the streamers have been playing is it's a really retarded looking like Second Life thing is VR chat.
Oh, yes. I've seen this, too. I've seen some of the YouTubes.
It looks hilariously stupid.
It's some of the worst. Yeah, a lot of the stuff I'm seeing is like the worst parts of gaming all in one little. Let them all live on VR chat island. That's fine. But I find like, okay, here's the thing. Any new technology that comes out, it's like we were just talking about Magic Pen Gel. Here's a pen so you can draw whatever you want. Chodemon is the first thing I'm going to draw. Like that's the thing is that you introduce society to a new technology,
but
and inevitably the first place they're going to take it is the gutter.
People are always going to draw dicks no matter what it is. They're always going to draw dicks. Their name's always going to be Chody. It doesn't matter. That's that person's thing. But then there are people that are like, I'm always going to create a Gundam. I'm always going to create Hatsune Miku. I'm going to do whatever. And I'm fine with that. it was really dumb. But I watched it the other day, and it's just... It was so dumb. It was hilarious. So it's like memes all over the place.
Azette in chat said, rule 34, Rob. Yeah, it's true. It's true. Bobby Blackwell says it's not easy to create things for VR chat.
It looks hilarious, though.
Okay, we do have a call coming in. I think this guy got his Skype issues resolved, so I think we can talk to him. Hi, you're on Orange Zone Radio. Who's this?
Hey, guys. It's SSGO 100.
Hey, buddy. I was hoping you'd call in because you are fresh back from MAGFest, aren't you?
Yeah, I just got back about 2 hours ago.
And that was a long drive. From what I remember, MAGFest is different from most cons I go to because the last day is, like, super cut short. Like, they pull the plugs at noon or something, right? Like, it's over.
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, I was in my car and driving at 1 o'clock, didn't get home until, not that long ago, so.
Well, how was it? I know MAGFest had a lot of... It had a lot of issues with the hotel and all that stuff. People worried they wouldn't find a place to park. How did it all work out once you got there?
Once it was there, you know, it kind of just felt like any other MAGFest. Things were a little bit different. Hotels, it seemed like, for the most part for me, like I managed to get a room at the Gaylord, lucky enough. If you feel a little guilty about it, but because so many people didn't, but...
No, you shouldn't. You've been promoting me. You're one of the people that got me to go to MAGFest. You're just as worthy as some other guy of getting the.
That's true, but you know, like I have several friends who like had to drive like 45 minutes to and from, and like some people like had to take an Uber.
That's such a pain, and I get it. Like the Gaylord Inn, and if you don't know this venue because it's over out in the Washington D.C. area, it's technically National Harbor, Maryland, but they do big political events there. Like I seem to remember. Like a week after the last MAGFest that I went to.
It's like CPAC is in the Grand Ballroom.
Yeah, like 45 was there doing a speech or something, and it was all over CNN. And I was like, oh, that's weird because I was just there at that same hotel. But anyway, it's a gorgeous hotel. So it's like once you get to the venue, it's great. But the problem with National Harbor is it's like super isolated because it kind of like sticks out into the, you know, there's only like a couple roads in and out of there.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. And yeah, no, it's just like it was so cold this year.
Oh, yeah.
Because we just managed to avoid that big snow bomb, whatever it's called.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
You know, it was still like negative.
The bomb cyclone or whatever they're calling it.
Yeah. So, and it was still like -5 outside.
Oh, I'm kind of, in that regard, I'm kind of glad I skipped this year. You do remember, though, because I remember you gave me mad props because I was out there doing Ingress missions in 20-degree weather last year.
No, I didn't. I messed up my streak so bad in Pokemon Go this weekend because I did not want to go outside.
I'm surprised there weren't a million pokey things going on in the hotel. I thought I remember there were a lot of at least Ingress.
Oh, pokey things happened in the hotel.
Actually, I think my Gyarados is from National Harbor.
I just you know what? It's just one of those things that I neglected to flip on because I was so busy doing other things.
That's fair. Well, let's talk about those other things a little bit. So I know there was some controversy about Tokyo Attack no longer doing the video game room. I don't know if they worked that out or what, but the arcade room kind of looks like it was all right after all, right?
Yeah, no. Well, they did not work out their dispute with Tokyo Tech. They managed to, I don't know who it was, but they managed to meet up with another Tokyo Tech-like group. And so they had just, you know, the big concern was with Tokyo Tech, who handles a lot of the Japanese music games and a lot of, like, other Japan games that have been at, like, a lot of other MAGFests. So they were, a lot of people were concerned, like, there's not going to be any DDR, there's not going to be any Poppin'. They managed to find someone else, I don't know who it is, and they managed to bring in a lot of those machines. So, yeah, like, it wasn't really missed.
There was a ton of DDR machines, they still had U-Beat, they still had some of the newer stuff. They didn't have all the new stuff, but they still had a pretty darn good share of it, so.
Yeah, no, they did. Yeah.
So they found a new partner. And a lot of chatters pointing out that Tokyo Attack is actually at Awesome Games Done Quick right now. So, and I think, I feel like they were doing that before anyway. Even when they were doing MAGFest, they kind of packed all that shit up. And because what is Awesome Games Done Quick still just on the other side of town right now?
It is. And it's actually, it's in the same hotel where the original MAGFest was, I believe.
Oh, shit. Okay.
That's so, you know, it's like, so like you had like a lot of, there were like, there were like a lot of like speedrunners who are at MAGFest as well. So like there were a couple like Mega Man speedrunners who were doing the Mega Manathon, which is a big speedrun marathon that they do at MAGFest where they go through all the Mega Man games and speedrun them. And then there was a popular Kingdom Hearts speedrunner who did his own thing.
I'm not surprised some people make a really long week of it, although that's a long time to be away. But for students and stuff, it might be a little easier to swing that sort of time away. I heard they made some changes to the concert hall this year. Did you like the new layout?
They did. The layout was a bit different. I mean, so to kind of give everybody some context, the original layout for the main concert room was they had two stages on opposite ends of this big hall. So that way, in their mind, was to kind of set up one concert while the other one was still going on. The problems you kind of run into is that the bands were able to set up, but the sound crew, they weren't able to do sound checks properly. So they managed to just consolidate into one big stage.
Oh, which, I remember the sound issues being a problem last year, too. So this was their solution. Okay, that makes sense then.
So things kind of ran a lot more efficiently, and also just, you know, the quality was better.
Oh, that's good.
So, like, there were, like, maybe, like, slightly fewer concerts this year. But on the upside, every single concert started on time. Every single concert pretty much ended on time.
Well, that is good.
That is good.
So everything just kind of worked out a bit smoother there.
So they didn't switch. Did they switch the orientation of the room where, like, the one stage was in the center of where it was before? Or did they just use one side and that was it?
They used the more centered part of it.
Okay, interesting. So that kind of looks like they rotated the room. That would be kind of interesting.
Yeah. But yeah, no. For the most part, MAGFest was pretty much about the same.
Well, that's good. What was
still?
Go ahead. You first.
Oh, so like, well, some of the negatives were like it was noticeably crowded. It was extremely crowded, especially Friday evenings and all of Saturday. So,
so they might have hit their capacity. Did they claim a sellout or no?
They did not, but I'm curious because I think like a lot of people, like in the weeks leading up to MAGFest, the months, a lot of people were selling their badges because they couldn't make it, because they couldn't get a room.
Mm.
So I don't know, like it may have been like a lot of local people, but it was like a lot of like people like the past couple days, the last day or two was their first MAGFest. Because like they heard it was like kind of like their big party, so.
Place to go drink. What was the coolest thing you saw at MAGFest?
Coolest thing I saw was, I was able to only catch a little bit of it because timing and panels and everything. So the old show Nick Arcade.
Oh yeah, I heard about this. Yeah.
They managed to get Phil Moore, the original host.
That's so awesome.
Of
Nick Arcade.
Nick Arcade.
Mm-hmm.
And so they kind of did their own version of Nick Arcade with a couple of the indie games as kind of like the game challenges.
Smart.
So that was kind of cool. So they did that last year. But it didn't really like work out too well. But with they had Fillmore this year do it, and they did two showings. They did one with like contestants from the crowd, and second night was like, you know, get special guests. Like they had Freddie Wong on there and on doing it as well. So it was, he kind of just like didn't skip a beat.
Was it like seeing the same guy from the 90s television just right there in person? That's awesome.
And it was like down to like him like making songs out of like or spitting rhymes about during like the musical segments, if you can kind of remember during the show.
Yeah, I do. I love it. So one more question I have for you, and then we'll let you go, see if we get any other calls. But as has been pointed out a couple times, it was noted that the gentleman who invented the Colossus Roar, the infamous roar that happens at MAGFest, which is kind of sounds like roar, roar, like yep. a lot of people, and it gets louder and louder as more people join in. And truth be told, I kind of get annoyed with it by the last day of MAGFest. However, seeing that, you know, there's a little more sentimentalness to it this year, I probably would have made it the whole MAGFest and just, you know, silently nodded, you know, what have you. But the guy passed away, so
yep.
Was the Colossus Roars in like full force this year because of that?
So on the machine that was his, they had like a dedication and everything of him, and apparently Stan Lee had signed the cabinet as well.
What?
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So but no, like I think there were like a bunch during just kind of like the usual amount.
All right, so the usual amount, like, which is lots.
But now I think like people were able to kind of find out what the actual full story of it was now, because like where it came from, why people do it.
Exactly, and that was kind of my point, where it's like, well, now that I know the story, it's harder to be annoyed with it. You know what I mean?
And to kind of like quickly tell for context and everybody who's listening.
Please.
The story behind it is when they first started doing MAGFest, they had a couple of arcade machines, and one of the big things that they got was the six-man X-Men arcade machine. And the machine's volume was like turned up all the way. So during the whole show, anybody who was doing Colossus's super, you get like the constantly going. So that became kind of like the battle cry of MAGFest.
Well, there's the story. Yep. All right. Well, my friend, we're going to let you go, see if we get any other calls in here. But thanks so much for the call. I appreciate it.
Yep. You're welcome.
All right.
Have a good one.
Take care, my friend.
Yep.
Bye-bye. Yeah, Bobby Blackwolf in chat points out everybody at MAGFest heard it, all 1,000 attendees. That's why it's so iconic. Yeah, well, it's hard to get away from that Colossus Roar. Let's get into some other calls here at chat, including this call. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
What's going on, people? It's Ronma, and Happy New Year.
Hey, Ronma, Happy New Year. It's great to hear from you. What's on your mind?
Well, I need to call in, because I wasn't originally planning to, because I just walked in from a con, freezing my butt off in these cold winds. But since we're talking MAGFest...
Yeah.
Let me tell you what really happened with Tokyo Attack.
Oh, okay, sure.
Because I found this out through some staffers... Because right here in New York, we have, like, the Underground Staffing Network, which is a combination of con staffers between several conventions in this area. I am out at a party, having a good time, reconnecting with some people, and a few people are asking me about MAGFest. I'm like, I'm not going because of the BS with the tickets and the hotel. I'm like, I'll deal with it the following year. And during the conversation, I found out what really happened with Tokyo Attack, per se. Hmm. Whatever they were arguing about, that's what it was. It seems that a bunch of arcade collectors stepped up and said, y'all don't need Tokyo Attack, we got this.
Interesting. So somebody kind of basically made a counteroffer.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't remember the full details of that, but I do know from this point on, when you go to MAGFest... And you see all these arcade machines. These are from people's personal collections.
Well, to be fair, you know, and we are hearing from SSU 100 Matt, who said, you know, the arcade room was still fine, you know, and somebody, it was either him or Zeba, sent me a picture of an F-Zero AX machine, which there wasn't even that many of those in the U.S. to begin with. So the fact that they had one of those at MAGFest was pretty impressive. So, you know, MAGFest arcade, they did fine for themselves. And we know that Tokyo Attack had plenty of time to set up and do a good show over at Awesome Games Done Quick. So is this just maybe a everybody wins scenario?
I tend to think so, but given some of the stuff that I've been talking with a lot of staffers and non-staffers, I mean, if you're going to tell the story, at least kind of tell it right.
Okay. Well, you know, but some of it's a little bit drama, and it's like, you know what, that's what I'm trying to focus on. Is everybody happy? Yes. Okay, great. Let's be happy.
That's what it's coming down to, so.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Well, what, so you said you went to a convention this weekend?
Yes, I went. You have to understand, I have a soft spot for little local college conventions, and I love them.
Sure, I like little conventions, too.
They're like glorified anime club meetups.
Yeah. So
we went, me and Mako and Ari, we went to this con called KatoriCon at a local college campus. They have like a little Friday get-together, then the actual con is in three buildings on the campus. Mm-hmm. And normally, it's in January. So you don't expect to walk around in the cold weather switching between buildings.
But here we are.
Yeah.
And you were posting about stuff that was going on at SAC Anime all the way out here. That's kind of what made me laugh. Is I was like, wow, SAC Anime is getting big enough to where
this. It's not that. It's more like one of my. Like I said, there's a lot of. I'll just say, there's a lot of fucking bullshit going on in the communities, and there's a lot of people who look at me as some type of mystical sage who can handle business. The most that I can do is pay it forward. The whole SAC Anime thing was, there was some creeper taking upskirt shots.
Oh, gross.
And it hit my feed. The best that I can do is tag friends who are in the area and pay it forward.
So you're being convention daddy. Looking out for everybody.
Something like that. Honestly, Rob, I've been con daddy for about the last 10 years, more or less. I have gone to many con raves and met up with my female friends, which is her who have asked me to walk them back to their rooms because they're guys at the rave who don't know how to take a hint.
You know, the unfortunate thing about that a-hole that's doing the upskirt pics and all that stuff is that guy probably doesn't even watch anime and isn't even a nerd in the slightest sort. I mean, he might be, but unfortunately, I think there's just gross people that make their way into it because they see opportunity, and it's gross, and I'm glad that we're coming together as a society to, you know, put a stop to that shit, and, you know, we're looking out for each other, and, you know, hopefully if a girl catches him doing that, they're going to fucking speak the fuck up and get that guy booted the fuck out and his phone thrown on the ground and stomped on or whatever he's using to take the pictures.
And you're absolutely right. If you go back about a month and a half, the Me Too movement, remember?
Sure. How can you forget?
Yeah. It really exploded in the cosplay community because there are a lot of fucking creepers out there who don't know how to say no. They do this and they do that. And I've been connected to people that I have disconnected myself from for their antics. We don't play that shit no more.
Yeah. You know, and if you see a cute girl at an anime convention dressed up in an outfit, why don't you just ask politely, or cute guy, whatever it is, why don't you just ask politely, hi, can I take your picture? You know, because a lot of cosplayers dress up so that they can get their picture taken. But ask.
A lot of guys and gals do that, but sometimes it happens. We tend to read the body language wrong and assume this or that and fuck it up.
Yeah, never assume anything. And if somebody doesn't want to have their picture taken, don't take it as they're a fucking bitch or whatever. It's just, you know, I think we've all had this, and I've experienced this. Sometimes your days are so fucking long that when you've had it, and some people use the analogy of I only have so many spoons for with the mental health I can handle. Yeah. Some of you probably heard this story before. And sometimes people are out. And they need a chance to drink their fucking Diet Coke and recharge, and then they'll take the picture maybe later. So
some people like that. It's like, there's sometimes I've been told, not right now, later, and I'm like, cool, here's my card, find me later. They usually find me later or the next day, and we take pictures. There are times I take pictures of cosplayers while they're chilling and sitting down. I'm like, don't get up, this is fine.
Yeah. So just ask, and I'm sure you can get lots of pictures with cute girls and guys and people dressed up, but appropriately and per their boundaries, not yours.
And also, every guess what? Every con has this. They have a how to talk to con guys and girls panel one-on-one. How to talk to them. How not to be a creeper. Almost every con has this panel. It's an hour out of your con weekend. Go. Yeah. I was there. I went to that panel today and shared some of my own stories.
I'm hoping our listeners, we have a pretty good crowd that doesn't need to hear it. But just in case, you know that that's out there and there's no shame in attending these panels because Rama went to this panel today to help out. So if Rama really can go, you can go.
My friends was running the panel. My guy swing by, heard some of the stories, told some of my own experiences from both sides, and we good.
All right. SJ and Under Matt wanted to follow up, since it does relate to your call, too. A group named Snow Phoenix was the group that picked up the music game Slack, where the Void from Tokyo Attack was left at MAGFest. So there you go.
Sounds like a plan.
Okay, Rama, I'm going to let you go, because coughing fit means time to end the show.
Yes, and we will see you at MAGFest next year, right?
Assuming, I'm going to use the disclaimer, I'm not putting up with hotel drama, and I'm not doing
handle,
this.
I will handle the hotel. It'll be VOG WinterCon Fest 2019. We're going to do it up.
All right. Under those conditions, if I can stay in the National Harbor area, and I'm even fine walking from one of the other hotels because I stayed next door.
Bro. we're going to book a room across the street in one of the suites. Mako-chan is coming. She is going to cook like Mama Luigi. We're going to throw down. It's going to be a good time.
Then let me follow up with this. Work.
You got that right, honey.
Yes, Con Daddy, come through.
Yes.
All right, I'm hanging up. Take care, buddy.
Right. Bye.
Bye. All right. Anyway, let's see. Bobby in chat says, remember, I snore. That's okay. I wear Mr. Smush snores. So I wear, and yes, it's loud because Mr. Smush likes to sleep right next to my ear. I wear earplugs. So that stuff actually doesn't bother me as much as you think. All right. Anyway, but Bobby, you don't come because it's in January anyway. But maybe I don't know. Maybe he's giving it some thought. I don't know. But I do want to make MAGFest next year happen. It is a fun convention. So I am not usually, despite what Captain Matt on Starboard Power Coupling says, I'm not usually the one to break out with ego. However, in this circumstance, I'm going to be like the whole, because next year I'll be 40 years old. So I'm going to play the whole, I am 40 years old and I don't have time to come. I flew all the way out here from the West Coast. I have a podcast. I am not taking a 45-minute Uber ride. So if I'm going to MAGFest next year, I'm going to have a little bit of convenience. That's the only way I'm going to do it. All right. Anyway, I think it's about time for us to wrap it up here at Orange Lounge Radio. Thank you guys who called in. If you didn't get through, you can always send us an email, participate@orangeloungeradio.com. Again, that's participate@orangeloungeradio.com. You can send us an email, and we'll hopefully get it in on a future show. But now we're going to wrap it up. Remember, next week, we're going to have a lot of guests. It's going to be a real fun show next week. We'll talk about other games, too, but we're going to talk a little bit about the mobile phone game that ruined people's lives. Let's go around and, for now, get people's final thoughts. I do want to say, though, of course, we here at Orange Lounge Radio, we do this show for free. I know sometimes we take on, you know, charitable causes, such as you heard earlier tonight. For the most part, we don't ask really for your money to do this program. All we ask is for you guys to help us spread the word. Tell a friend or two about the show. A nice 5-star review goes a long way as well. A nice 5-star review on a place like iTunes or Google Play Podcasts, wherever you found this, it goes a long, long way in helping us spread the word. So really appreciate it, you guys. I think that's all I have to say. So let's get everybody's final thought for the night. Loki, your final thought tonight.
My final thought is, I'm hopefully going to play more VR games next week because I played one. That's one more than I was playing.
All right. And, Dar Sakura, your final thought tonight. All right. And my final thought for tonight is, I'm going to steal it from Rockcat because it's my new favorite saying. L-L-A-M-I-S. I just say llamas, even though I know I'm saying it. It's llamas. Llamas. All right. That's my final thought. Llamas. Good night, everybody. Thanks for being here. We'll see you in 7 days to do all over again. Happy gaming, and be nice to each other. Bye.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or Vogue Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.